morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Well, what's on tap? Bobby Lee from Mad TV. Funny. Asian. Saw him outside smoking as I walked in. It's probably a bad sign as a host when the guests actually beat you to the show. Bobby Lee here, full 20 minutes
before. That was his third cigarette.
I showed up. Oh, so he may have just camped out.
How much longer till you start showing up after the show's actually started?
Well, that's never going to happen. But when we did Loveline, I had it timed out so that I would show up. Well, let's put it this way. When we did Loveline, which started at 10 in the evening, if I showed up at 9:50 or before, there were questions. Where were you? Did you eat dinner at a restaurant nearby and it broke
Trouble
up early?
Home.
Yeah, what are you doing out of the house so early? If I showed up for Loveline, which started at 10, and yes, this is the song we used to use when we started Loveline. If I showed up at Loveline at 9:47, there were questions being asked. What's going on? What's up? What are you here for? Do you have to do some pre-taping or something? A full 12 to 13 minutes before the show began. Normally, I was there about a minute and a half to 2 minutes before the show began. I always knew I was late when I came in and Drew was sitting in my seat. When Drew moved from his seat to the command module, when he moved to Captain Kirk's chair, that meant he thought I wasn't gonna be.
So you actually were late a time or two?
Well, one time my car broke down and Brian, phone screener Brian, had to come pick me up. Yeah, you know, one time the car just threw a fan belt or something, and I had to limp off the freeway. I just coasted off of the freeway in the middle of Koreatown or whatever the world's worst neighborhood out here in Los Angeles is at, you know, 9:45 at night. It's great. To Los Angeles, come on down, everybody. It's a great city. When your car breaks down and you talk to the guy at the gas station, I'll give you two choices. Who do you think you get? Old Murph with the red mustache and the rag hanging out of the back of his pocket who says, sure, I'll stay an extra half an hour to see if we can sort out this problem. What do we got here? Or scary guy planning the jihad, giving you the stink eye through 5 inches of Lexan. What is you want? Listen, my car broke. First off, the people that own the gas stations, or at least the people that work in the gas stations in this city, are all from a place where everything is met with suspicion. Yeah, listen, I got the Mini Cooper broke down. What is? It broke down. Why it is broke? I don't know. I think I threw a belt or something. The power steering pump is gone. The thing is overheating. What? Where it is? Can I just park it here? Do you guys work on it? No, it is, we have mechanic. He comes in morning. Well, okay, can I leave? I'll leave the car here overnight. Maybe the guy can look at it. It is $10 deposit. What, $10 deposit to leave it? I'm going to have your guy fix it. No, there's this club. There's a club across the street. The guy thought I was pretending. This is my ploy, by the way. And by the way, you think I dress casually to do this show? You should have seen me in Loveline.
Naked.
Here's what I wore. No? Well, during the summer months, yeah. But this was during the winter. I would wear sweatpants with one leg cut off. Just one leg cut off. One flip-flop. A wife beater, and always semi, what I like to call the leather stage, you know, down in the phallus department. That's how I'd walk around. So this guy thought I was out, I was going clubbing, essentially, but I wanted to leave the mini. My plan was to coast up with steam coming out. I put a smoke pod under the hood of my car. Then I come coasting up to his gas station. Then I push the car into a spot. Meanwhile, I go across the street to the Mexican club, get my dance on, and save myself $8. On parking. Right. That was it. No, it is. No, you cannot. Everybody, here's what my challenge. My challenge to you, before you decide to invade our city, before you come down and relocate to Los Angeles, come on down, talk to the good folks at the gas stations. Do me a favor. Ask them if you can use the bathroom. Tell them it's an emergency. Tell them you really got to go. See if you can. The guy's just dressing me down, and he's sweating me, you know. And I'm just telling him, look, my car broke down. I just want to park it here. Then either I'll come get it in the morning, or we can have your guy fix it in the morning. You give me the phone number. I had to give him a deposit. a deposit to leave the car overnight at his gas station. So there's if his mechanic was there, he would have gotten on it at the time. His mechanic wasn't there till 8 or 9 a.m. the following morning, in which case he could have looked at the car at that point, but I had to leave a deposit. I beg you, please, maybe New York, but any place else but New York and L.A. Is there another? Is there some place in Georgia, some place in Wyoming? Is there any other place in this godforsaken country we live in where you have to leave a deposit when your car breaks down overnight so the mechanic can look at it first thing in the morning? Jesus effing Christ.
I think it's great to see.
But I was late that day, and Brian picked me up in his pile of crap.
Speaking of this day, I think it's terrific that you've clearly softened with age. Of course, it's it's Adam Carolla's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. By the way, I was
57 today.
Thank you.
I was looking at, they print those lists of celebrity birthdays, and then, they put a parenthetical how you know the person.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Bettany, A Beautiful Mind, he shares your birthday. Todd Bridges, Different Strokes. And then it says, Adam Carolla, parentheses, real man.
Wow.
It's a description of you.
I prefer every man, but not bad.
Close.
I'll take it.
Man's man.
Well, my birthday's not until tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow. These are all tomorrow birthdays.
Yeah. Look, I was hoping I would slide under the radar with this, as you could probably tell from me not bringing it up. I have a few feelings. One is, if your birthday does not fall on a work day, you're effed. You're going to have to wait a couple years. If it's a Sunday, well, enjoy it on a Monday the following year, unless it's a leap year. And if it's a Saturday, well, then you have a couple of years to wait before you can enjoy. But then you start the cycle, you get a nice long 5-year run. I like that policy. I'm uncomfortable with celebrating my birthday when it's not on my birthday. And in general, any kind of celebration involving myself. It really makes me uncomfortable.
I don't like it either.
You're just talking about me.
Yeah, celebrating anyone else than me.
Right, that's what I thought. For a minute, forget it. I was sitting in the shrink's office on Tuesday, and I was saying to him, I haven't brought up anything about my birthday. I would love this just to slide under the radar. I don't like the attention. And I realized it was born back in North Hollywood many years ago. The family. Now, I know this is going to come as a shocker, but we didn't make a big thing out of people's birthdays, celebrations.
No cakes.
Things like that. Well, we did. Here's what we did. First off, I don't know when my mom's birthday is. I don't know when my dad's birthday is. I don't know when my grandparents' birthday. I do know my sister's birthday because it's in my month of May. I don't know anyone else's birthday. My family. Part of the reason is I'm a bad son, and the other part is we never celebrated anything on that day. My sister's birthday was May 9th. Mine's May 27th. We would try to get together in the middle of June at some point. And by the way, the combined birthday, you think a kid feels gypped when he's born on December 23rd and his thing gets mixed in with the Christmas whip? Oh, no. I'll tell you worse. The other sibling piggybacking, especially when you're full 3 weeks apart, when they realize they just, we'll do it somewhere in the middle of June. But so we didn't do things on the exact day, and sometimes not at all. The other thing is I didn't get birthday presents because my family was super cheap and super poor, and I wanted good stuff. And I realized my lame parents weren't going to come up with anything good. They didn't know what you wanted, and they only had $10 or $20 or whatever it is. And I wanted stuff. I wanted a cool dirt bike BMX bike frame or some Motomag wheels for my dirt bike. I wanted some cool stuff, not some cheap Huffy for $69. So what I did is I would collect everyone's money in the family. I would get $20 from my dad. I mean, this is as a 11, 12, 13-year-old. I get $20 from my dad. I would get $20 from my mom. I would get $10 from my stepdad. I would get money. Well, here's the deal.
That's terrible. Right.
Well,
but wait a second. Let's be practical for just one second.
It's personal money.
Yes, you can buy goods and, more important, services. Because when you're 11, you need to be serving.
But you're a child.
But here's the thing. You have cheap parents, right? Well, I don't know what's more insulting, being just too poor to be able to afford good stuff or too cheap. For my parents, it was both super poor and then ultra cheap.
Double whammy.
I mean, super, super scary novelty cheap, crazy cheap. The whole family, novelty, nutty, dirt cheap, but also piss poor. You rarely get the piss and the dirt mixed together to make the world's cheapest play and reactivate it. You get the piss poor, the dirt cheap, pow. That's where they meet. Anyway, super cheap, super poor. They wouldn't go out and buy a bunch of stuff. And if I said, go out and get me a gift, I would get electronic Scrabble or something, and I wanted a dirt bike.
You'd get the wrong. A couple of guys I know growing up got, like, you know, they were Bears fans, Chicago Bears fans, and somehow their parents wound up getting them. One guy I know got a San Diego Chargers jacket.
There is the mistake. Look, my parents said, okay, super cheap.
Poor.
Super poor. And didn't sweat the details.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Didn't pay that much attention to what their kids were into. They had their own problems. So the point is between those three, you could have easily gone out and got something you didn't want. And then you'd have to wait until Christmas. For me, it was a good 7 months until something came around again. There was no in-between Christmas and birthday buying. Somewhere along the line, this changed. When I was growing up, or maybe it was just the doofuses I was growing up with in North Hollywood, it was a long, barren, dry streak between you got things on your birthday and you got things on Christmas, and then you got some pants when school started. But there was no gifts in between. So I was into stuff like I am now. I love cars. I love mechanical stuff. I loved it back then. Oh, I felt like a hostage in that goddamn family. Could you imagine? Not a tool in sight. Nothing. Point is I loved stuff, so I wanted a BMX bike, but I wanted a cool BMX bike. But the whole BMX bike would have been $180, and I only had $75, so I would buy the frame, and then when my birthday came around, I would buy the forks and a rim, something like that. I would assemble it, but I wanted the cool stuff, so I just got the money from everybody. Because, by the way, if everyone just got a separate present, I would get a $10 or $15 cheap, lame present times five. Mm-hmm. This way, I had $80 to work with, and I could buy myself whatever I wanted. So I would just make the rounds. I'd get the $10. I think the grandparents, goddamn, are they cheap. They did the $10, too.
Really?
Grandparents, match my stepdad. You should hang your head, old folks. Point is yeah, I got 20-20, dad, mom, stepdad. And then grandparents, 10. We could pass the hat, get myself my money together, and then go out and buy my present. For them, it was cool with them because they just saved them a trip to, you know, Toys R Us. And I just go out and find my bike frame. But the point is the day was, it was never about the day. You know what I mean? It wasn't.
Yeah.
And then once you get yourself going on that trajectory where you've never, you know, my family, I never saw an anniversary celebrated. Birthdays, again, celebrated in very limited fashion months oftentimes after it happened. My grandfather, who was the patriarch of the family, when he died, no funeral.
Really?
No funeral. No.
Not because of money is why.
Well, maybe it was the triple crown you mentioned of cheapness, poorness, and lack of attention to detail.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of self-absorbed meets poor meets cheap meets you're not getting a funeral. The only way you'd get a funeral is if you died, but then you can't do it. You know what I mean? The only ones who would throw themselves a funeral would have to be the person who's dead. Everyone else, it's screwed. I mean, you know what you get into this? We don't need to do this to prove that. Sure, we loved him. He was a great man, but we don't need to go out and spend, you know, $5,000 to prove that whatever. We don't need to buy a, you know. I mean, the guy from the Neptune Society showed up in a station wagon, just grabbed Grandpa out of the bed and threw him right in the back of the station wagon, threw him in the ocean.
Holy hell.
Did he come back like in an urn or a shoebox? Or?
He came back dragging seaweed with a life preserver around his neck, but demonic, green glowing eyes yelling why.
You live because you thought he should get a proper burial.
We had a service 2 years later. And it wasn't a service. We went over to my grandma's house and had a little nosh. That was it. There's never a formal. We don't do, the Corollas do nothing formal. There are no events. There are no funerals. I never went to, like I said, anniversaries, birthdays, celebrations, graduations, Little League games. Oh, it's just nothing. There was just never anything. It was just the day would come and go. It was never marked by anything. So now, as an adult, I have a serious deficit in that department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anniversaries, birthdays, things. I don't even know how to act. I didn't even know.
How would you know? You had no role model.
Well, one could say that, you know, being out on my own for 25 years, I could at least let a little bit of society in and figure it out. But no.
Well, may I say that, you know, as we've pointed out and discussed at length before, you are at one end of that spectrum. I am at the other with my family, you know, praise and you can do as you please in life as you put, if you put your mind to it. Now I'm married to Miss Cindy. Her mother sent this note for a Mother's Day gift, a thank you for the Mother's Day gift that Cindy, obviously I had nothing to do with it, but uh-huh. Cindy sent this out.
And she sends a return note.
A thank you card. Mm-hmm. And it was gardening gloves that had her initials stitched in.
Very thoughtful.
Dearest Cindy and Dave, the beautiful personalized gloves are astounding! Exclamation point.
Wow.
These are gardening gloves, mind you. What an amazing surprise! Exclamation point. I've never received such an original gift! Exclamation point.
I wonder if it sounded like those women receiving the pearls over at the
Diamond
Oprah
earrings?
Show. Yeah.
I have a feeling it did.
At the Players Ball.
Right, it's got
yeah.
Diamond
earrings! Oh, I can imagine her opening the box and finding...
Oprah stole the dignity of Coretta Scott King!
I think that's every woman's dream when you open a small box to find some gardening gloves. Perhaps gardening clogs, but...
Garden gloves. This garden is what gloves. These are. Garden gloves, soft suede, too lovely to use in the garden. However, I will use them and love them and enjoy them and remember they came from you both. They are an absolute conversation piece, and I will be showing them to everyone. Double exclamation point.
Wow.
Thank you for being the most incredible, wonderful daughter and son-in-law, exclamation point.
If I ever label, I'm just saying this for anyone listening or anyone in this room, if I ever label anything that goes in the garden as a conversation piece, I don't care. I don't care if it's a sundial or wind chimes or hummingbird feeder, gardening clogs or gardening gloves, I want you to just run me through.
How about anything?
Yes. Yeah. How about you pick up something else from the garden called a hoe? And drive right. It right through my rib cage.
What's there to talk about? I see that your gloves are monogrammed. Wow.
Wow, nice. that is something.
First and last.
But I mean, nice. when everything gets that reaction, then nothing deserves that reaction. You know?
I know, but I would still say it's nice as opposed to the vacuum
it
I
is
grew
nice.
Up in.
Yeah, sure.
But still, yes.
Vortex
yes.
Of
when
love.
You have to announce, I have too much pride to ever announce anything as a conversation piece because that means you have no conversation. You're out of conversation. All right, Christian?
Yeah.
You're my little 13-year-old conversation piece.
Oh.
Happy birthday, early. Birthday.
Thank you. What's happening?
Not much. I got a short joke for you guys today. I hope you don't mind.
Christian, by the way, is our 13-year-old comedian calling from Fresno, I believe it is, right?
Breakout star at the Hollywood Improv just
sure.
A couple of weeks ago.
Dave, I'm disappointed in you.
What gives?
Well, yesterday when you were naming Teresa Strasser's vagina, you forgot a big Star Wars piece.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh,
the trash compactor, which had a one-eyed snake-like creature living in it.
That's a good point.
Solid.
And Christian reminds me, you know, X-Men is opening today,
mm-hmm.
And that's fertile soil as well. There's nary an X-Men character that does not suit Teresa's
Let
vagina.
Let me say this. Christian, you show great promise.
Oh. You really do.
We'll
you
get
got
them
what
out
we
later.
Call it, son. Hey, go talk to my stepdad. I'll give you $10. When's your birthday? All right.
Hit it, Christian.
All right. I was watching this thing about the gays on the news, and I realized that I don't even know how the debates even started. But I think that before the women got out of hand, they were a lot like the gays. But where the women were fighting for equality, the gays were fighting for the rights to, well, screw other guys.
Going blue this morning.
I don't think girls should even be allowed to protest. Because I don't want to come off as a sexist. I believe that women are equal to men, but they have those rights now, and they still just want more and more. Just because they're superior doesn't mean I have to admit it.
Ooh, I like that. Turn on himself. Yeah.
But they fight over the smallest things, too. I guarantee you, you're never going to see this on the news. A guy complaining, I think it's sexist that Mother's Day is for Father's Day. Men are just as good as parents as women. It should be Parents' Day. Mm. And that's what I got so far. Thanks for the short one. But
I like it, though.
Yeah?
Well, you're going a little, you're tackling, you know, torn from the headlines, mm-hmm. tackling today's issues. You know, it all started off about Flintstones chewables and lunch pails and cafeteria food. It's now progressed to social issues. Strong stuff. Don't spin out too far in that direction. I don't want a 13-year-old Mort Saul up there pontificating on governmental agencies I've never heard of.
The Lenny Bruce of junior high.
Right, reading your court transcripts for 40 minutes.
Christian, right back at you with the Star Wars one. Another one I forgot, too. Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's good. That's solid. All right. Let's take ourselves a break. What do we got coming up? Well, again, Bobby Lee from Mad TV does a million wonderful impressions. We're not going to hear any of them. Jimmy Kimmel. He does a fantabulous Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, remind me to compliment him on his show last night. He had Terry Hatcher on and did a wonderful little sketch at the beginning of the show. Hilarious. I really enjoyed it. And she announced it was the funniest thing ever on late night TV. Perez Hilton, he's going to be dishing the Hollywood dirt. He's doing his Hollywood happenings. He has the PerezHilton.com, gets 600,000 hits a day. Dick Vitale is going to do a movie review. Beat Dave's mom in trivia competition. $3,000 riding on this one, everybody. The pot has turned over twice. Someone's walking with $3,000. Republican Representative Richard Martin, news and sports.
And overall celebration of Adam Carolla's 57th birthday.
Thank you.
42nd happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Adam, I wanted to say happy birthday. It's Andy Dick. And I know you're older than me. I'm 40. I know you're like, you're pushing 45 or something, so I look up to you, buddy. I love you.
Hey, Adam. This is Cece DeVille. I just want to wish you a very, very happy birthday on this, your special day, because you're not going to have too much time to celebrate it with those twins now. Have a good one.
Adam, it's Bill Rancic from The Apprentice wishing you a happy birthday. You're fired.
Yeah. Barry.
All your dearest friends.
Well, yes, because I'm going to see Bill and Cece later on in the day. We're going out for an intimate dinner. Bill Rancic.
How many times do you think he's said you're fired?
Oh, he must just keep getting it. About the amount of times that guy from Laughing said, here come the judge. Where are we? Yes, it's my birthday celebration show, although my birthday's not until tomorrow. So.
Well, let the festivities begin here and now, as if they haven't already begun with the $3.50 or so cents that have been spent to adorn this studio.
You're being generous.
Streamers and such.
You're rounding up.
Well, your assistant, Lindsay, was here very early, working hard, putting up. Sure, it's a little ghetto, but it's, you know, it's early.
Yeah. It's really, if we were shooting a porn movie and it was somebody's birthday in the movie, they would do more. No, I think they'd step it up just a little bit.
We didn't even do the, usually at least it says the happy birthday letters and then the Adam part, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't spend on the A-D-A-M.
Nah.
What if we just bought like three of the letters? Happy birthday, Ada.
Now, let it begin. This is someone, we have someone on the line, someone who you know very well.
Better than Bill Rancic?
On par with,
wow.
At the very least.
And Adam has no idea who this is calling.
All right.
Now, a blast from the past who wants to wish you birthday greetings.
Surprise caller.
Hello?
Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Adam, do you recognize my voice?
Yes, I would say this is Beth Ringwald.
Wow, he did it.
Very pretty good, right?
Very nice, sir.
Yeah, Beth.
Yeah?
Sister of Molly, of course, who lived down the street from me growing up back when they were just little hayseeds.
But better known as your number one lady when you were a teen, right?
Yeah.
Meaning?
In love.
Your first sexual partner?
Deeply, yes, and deeply, deeply in love. Well, a deep teenage boy crush for many, well, felt like years, but I realized maybe it was more around the year mark than the years.
And okay. Beth, did you feel the same way?
I always liked Adam. I just thought he liked other girls more than me because he talked about other girls all the time.
Really? He talked about other girls to you?
It's a fantastic strategy. And then what I did, and this is because I'm shrewd, I went to the other girls and talked to them about Beth.
Yep.
It was Beth, a wild strategy.
Beth, what are your fondest memories of Adam?
Oh, there's too many. There's too many. Well, he used to train for the football team, and he was always trying to build muscle. He was actually a lot bigger than he is now.
This is lovely.
I don't know if this is going into
good. Running around the neighborhood and having me on your back.
Yes.
Aww.
Yeah.
running up and down the bleachers.
Yeah.
Is that right? That was your responsibility as his lady, was to ride him on the back?
It was like Vision Quest.
When I think about it later, and I have a son that's almost 18, I can't imagine what that did to Adam to have him be running around with me.
It was tough, tough to run with no blood in the legs.
I get the picture.
Beth, where are you living now?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
And obviously, so you have a son, are you're married?
Yeah.
It's our son. I just don't talk about him that much.
I just recently remarried my actual high school sweetheart.
It was.
I hooked up with him again.
A bizarre twist of fate. I was infatuated with Beth Ringwald when I was in the 10th grade, and I introduced her to my friend Kenny, who was a senior, and they immediately took up together. It was the worst move I ever made, but I was happy. I was happy for you two.
For them.
I was happy for them. So then they became boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were a couple, and then Kenny went off to college, went off to Brown University to become a doctor. I had to cut him loose. Anybody who was going to an Ivy League school was not going to cut it, as one of my buddies. So he went off to college. Beth went off to another man. Everyone went their separate ways, marriages, divorces, children, everything else. And then 5 years ago or so, stop me if I'm wrong here, Beth.
It was about 3 years ago, actually.
3 years ago. Now everyone in their late 30s, getting near 40, Beth and Kenny come back together again. Now they're married and living in North Carolina.
Beth says to herself, you know what? I gotta get back to my roots, reconnect with those high school sweethearts. Oh, Adam Carolla's a celebrity. No, not him. The other one.
Yes.
One went at the Ivy League school.
You guys essentially were first loves and essentially took 25 years off. I mean, more like 22 years, but makes the story better.
About 24. And he just sat in his office one day and Google searched me.
Wow. Were you, Beth, though? Were you in love with Adam?
I don't think we didn't quite get to that point. It could have happened, but it didn't quite happen.
She's waxing nostalgic. I think she looked at me as a more of a platonic friend than she had did
platonic.
A potential.
But you weren't platonic.
Than a potential.
Right?
We had our moments, but
she was your first lover.
But it was more of a aberration.
Well, Adam, I'm actually kind of proud of the fact, you know, since you've given so much love and sex advice all over the country to young kids. I was your first, wasn't I?
Yes, yes. Actually, you were my first and last for many years. Many years.
Well, Beth, I don't want to be indelicate, but how was the experience?
I was kind of drunk.
Indelicate.
And?
And it's kind of hard to remember.
Oh.
Yes.
So it was during a blackout, essentially.
I can't remember.
Listen, by California law, we can't talk about it anymore. It's actually technically considered rape in the state of California.
Oh.
I'm just in the eyes of the law, you understand?
Right.
Not in the eyes of God.
Sure.
In the eyes of the law.
I was always wondering your take on it.
Me too.
I was so... let's see. First, it was one of those things where it's like when you do stand up for the first time in your life and you walk off stage and you say to your coach, you say to your buddies, how'd I do? What do you think? And they go, well, nowhere to go but up. You're only going to get better. So it was nice. You know, what you don't want to do is set the bar too high out of the gate and then just flounder for the rest of your career. For me, I set the bar so low that I didn't even have to lift my foot to step over it.
Was it what you expected?
I don't know if virginity and virginity loss is ever what anybody expects. I think people think of it's going to be magical, and it ends up being just the same as any other event in life. Although for a guy, it is a it is something you get off your back. As a guy, you walk around as a virgin. This is it's like you're dragging a cross. It really is like Christ dragging a cross through the streets of Jerusalem. You want to shed yourself of this anvil you've been dragging around.
Right, it's a burden.
You have the burden. You've relieved the burden. Of course, you couldn't pick someone better than Beth. Super foxy. Like I said, Molly, her sister,
right,
is cute, but Beth is foxy.
What does she look like?
She looks exactly like mine. No, she that's the thing. They share some of the same qualities, but they don't really look alike. Would you say you look alike, Beth?
No, not at all. Nobody thinks we look alike.
You think you're foxier, though, right?
Oh, we have different looks.
Yeah, foxier. Yeah, well, Molly is cute and attractive. Beth is blonde, and, well, she's the way you like them. Damashek.
Really?
Yes. And featured in a few of the earlier Molly Ringwald
really?
Movies. Yeah, where's a couple you were in?
Well, in 16 Candles, actually.
Who did you play? I know that movie very well.
My part mostly got cut out before it even got filmed.
I saw you in, like, the locker room get picked up by some jock and carried away, right?
Yeah, at the end of the dance.
Right.
Jake had a best friend that was this big, dumb jock, and in real life, he was an ex-New York football Jets player. And John Hughes thought it was funny that I was a real petite and he was real big, so I was his girlfriend. And then once they filmed and saw the dailies, they realized he just did not look like he was in high school, so most of our scenes were cut out.
But you can IMDb her and find out what a fox she is. And then again, it was all downhill after that. It's right to carpet cleaning. Super skanky broads.
I don't think so.
Well, Beth, when are you and Kenny going to be out in the Los Angeles area again? Because I'm never coming to North Carolina.
Oh, it's beautiful here.
I don't care.
I hear you go to Charlotte a little bit.
Once in a while, I get out to Charlotte, but just to see one of my ladies I keep over there. Don't tell Lynette.
Beth, can I ask you, I'm a huge fan of your sister's work. I know she was living in France for a while. She was on Broadway. What's she up to?
Well, this week she's in the Bahamas with her husband, and I have her 2.5-year-old niece here visiting me for a week.
Mm. And is she coming back? Is she going to be I heard she was going to be doing some stage stuff or a TV series or something like that.
For a year, she's doing the national tour of Sweet Charity.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Christina Applegate originated the role, right?
And Molly has a much better voice, so she's going to be absolutely...
Oh! Mm.
Well, here's the thing that people don't realize about Molly is she's a tremendous singer. Started off singing on stage and then rose to prominence because she got a part in Annie.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Same with Sarah Jessica Parker, originally played Annie.
Exactly.
Well, did you guys, sorry for cutting you off, Sheck, but you guys moved out here, out to Los Angeles, because she got that part in Annie or for other reasons?
Because she got the part, and we lived in Sacramento. Actually, both her and I had agents and would fly to Los Angeles from Sacramento to do auditions, and Molly was the first.
Beth had a part in some pilot about some...
Yeah.
What was that? What was the name of that pilot?
Crash Island.
Crash Island.
And clever.
80s were a great time, weren't they?
Bill Mark Lemon was one of the pilots of the plane.
It's always a good sign.
Yeah, and Pat Morita.
Sure, Pat Morita and Metal
Dream
Art.
Team.
What a team.
I got to see this movie. How have I never heard of it?
Goose played the air traffic controller. It was
awesome.
Great. The whole Globetrotter team was there. And
Curly.
What was it about? You were the foxy teenage chick on an airplane that crashed on an island?
When we crash landed, I said we couldn't be stranded. I didn't have my blow dryer. That was one of my big lines.
Oh, it was a great time where every third movie was about a debutante getting caught out in the wilderness and them yelling, "That bear's not going to care if you have kissing potion on, Shannon. Let's go." You know, she was always freshening up.
Our nemesis was, we were a swim team flying over to Hawaii.
Swim team going to Hawaii when they crash, a deserted island. Because, between L.A. and Hawaii, there's thousands. It's dotted with islands, unexplored, uncharted.
I am so pleased that now I have something to do with my Memorial Day weekend. Watch this movie 78 times.
Well, Pat Morita was the nemesis. He was left over from World War II.
Oh, he thought World War II. See, that's the sad part. You're watching Molly's niece. She will never know a world where there was a crazy Japanese guy on an island that still thought the war was going on, because too much time the guy would physically, mathematically be dead at this point. Even if he was 19 when he enlisted, he's still gone, by 2010 or 20 when she's able to enjoy these movies. She'll never know a world where that scenario was possible.
We're speaking of performances, though. I think what would be a nice thing very quickly is if, you experienced Adam's first performance, if you two would reconvene for just one night and you could gauge his progression in that department. Yes?
I don't think Lynette or Ken would be too happy about that.
Perhaps if they could check on each other's progress. A little something I like to call swinging.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, bring Molly's niece.
Oh, no.
No, not just a watch. Not to...
Then you wonder why she's with Kenny.
Exactly.
Well, Beth, give my love to Kenny.
Yeah?
And tell him to give me a ring. I haven't talked to him in a million years.
Okay.
And, of course, I give my love to you.
Okay.
And tell Molly we'll bring her in when the tour passes through Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
She's a delight. Thank you, Beth.
Hey, Ken and I came up with some suggestions for names.
Oh, well, quickly.
To your Italian past, Guido and Claire.
Claire.
Claire was, Molly Ringwald in the movie?
Breakfast.
Yes.
Breakfast Club.
Very good.
Well, you're just scavenging off your sister's scripts, though. I don't need sloppy name seconds.
We just thought Guido and Claire just kind of flowed.
All right.
We'll just give Claire to Teresa's vagina, then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth Ringwald.
It always has detention.
Crazy.
Or that's what you call it. That's what you say to the guy. Are you ready to go to detention?
Yeah, they are a sort of poor family who move out. Dad's blind. To call them middle class would be generous. Move out, live in a little crappy house down the street from the Corollas. By the time we'd moved into this house, it was our good house. It was their crappy house. It was our good house. Same street, but they live in there. Then Molly gets on with Annie. Then the next thing you know, John Hughes comes a-knocking. And before you know it, like 3 years later, she's on the cover of Life magazine. It's freaky, this girl. I mean, the house was 1,100 square feet. I used to walk through her bedroom to get to the bathroom. She's just some little red-headed 12-year-old that's bopping around the house. I'm interested in her foxy blonde sister's probably 2 years older and eating homemade pie that Mrs. Ringwald is crapping out in the kitchen. Great baker, by the way. Fantastic. I know crapping out didn't sound generous, but great, great baker. And next thing you know, Molly's Breakfast Club. It's Pretty in Pink. It's 16 Counts. It's going. It's off the charts.
And you're cursing yourself. I chose the wrong sister.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's been a while, but there was a 2-3 year span there, somewhere 82 to 85, or it was a Molly Ringwald mania.
So, oh yeah, I wanted to be her.
Literally the cover of Time and Life magazine in the same month for a 17-year-old. Crazy.
Yeah, she captured the zeitgeist of that generation.
And still living, should have named my penis Zeitgeist. She's living in the same 1,100 square foot crappy box in North Hollywood while she's on the cover of Life magazine because she's 16.
Keeping it real.
Crazy. All right, we will take ourselves. She bought a rabbit convertible when she was 16. And had a custom license plate, had a vanity plate that had her name on it. Said L.A. Molly on it. And we got followed home by 7,000 dudes the first day she took the car out and had to get rid of it the second day. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
We're about to really heat up because I've invited an Asian man.
I brought you a little gift.
You made origami. Oh, it's beautiful. Look, everyone. My Asian friend, Hideki, made me an origami fire-breathing dragon.
It's not a fire-breathing dragon. It's a bottle of wine. That guy at the liquor store just wrapped it up for me.
Oh. Bobby Lee from Mad TV.
I'm not Asian.
No, Lee, like General Lee.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Bobby Lee, fifth season on Mad TV, 11 o'clock on Fox, Saturday night.
Nine people watch that show.
I know.
Each one of them loves it.
Contraire, I must say this, because we started on Loveline, the TV show, about the same time Mad TV started. So, of course, we're both fledgling shows, and we got all the Mad TV guests. And each season, we would have someone on from Mad TV, and this is 11 years ago. They would lean over and say, Deborah Wilson or whoever, she was nuts, by the way, proud black woman, but completely insane. She would lean over and just go, this is it. This is our last season. No problem to pull foot. That was every year for about 9 years, and then I stopped listening to everyone saying Nicole Sullivan, and everyone saying, we will be canceled. They never get canceled. What is the deal?
It's like we're like community theater, you know. We're kind of in show business, but not. You know what I mean? And there was a homeless guy sleeping outside my dressing room. I swear to God.
Really?
It doesn't seem like I'm on a show.
He's not a character. He's really a homeless guy.
Yeah, he's really. It was Mike McDonald. But anyway, and I can't believe that it's on. And I, you know what? God bless it, really. There's 9 Mexican guys that watch it. And I always hear this when I cross, hey, my TV. My TV. I'm like, all right, Carlos, how are you? It was Carlos Mencia.
Did you, Well, I just got hungry. Nice chimichanga burrito. Did you opened or toured with Carlos Mencia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 for 5 long years.
Wow.
I did tortilla festivals, I swear to God. Oh. One time I did the tortilla festival, no one spoke English.
Did they like your humor?
20 minutes, ate it.
Wow.
But I had tortillas afterwards.
Yeah, I
ate those too.
I could see the Mencia crowd and you going over, talking about your
Chino. That's all I hear. Chino. I'm Korean. Cochino.
Would your stand-up act be primarily about growing up in that environment?
No, my stand-up act was all about like growing up in with the Korean parents and all that stuff, and these didn't get it, you know. I would be like, my dad used to say, oh, you are not funny. And they'd be like staring at me like, yeah, you're not funny. You know what I mean?
Well, you think, I wonder, you know,
you son of a.
I oftentimes think this way because I have to put everyone in categories and little boxes. But there are certain, you look at the animal world. We have quite a range of animals. Some animals, like otters, have a wonderful sense of humor. There's some animals that actually like effing with other animals. Then there are animals like certain reptiles that seem to have zero sense of humor. I think there's certain cultures that just don't have a sense of humor. I don't know if it makes them bad people, but they're not interested in comedy.
Uh-huh.
I don't see a lot of it in the Middle East. I don't see a lot of it in certain cultures.
Sure.
How do you think the Koreans rank in that department? Top?
Well, I think out of all the Asians, Koreans are the funniest. Because look at the comics out there. Margaret Cho.
Yes.
Me. And that's it.
The list goes on and on.
But
look at the Chinese. Name me one Chinese comic.
Ooh,
stand up.
Man, there was that guy who was on that Love Boat episode about 25 years ago. I think he later on starred and they call me Bruce.
There are no Japanese guys.
Wait, who was the guy in Last Comic Standing?
He is Vietnamese.
Well, sorry.
Well.
And he's not funny.
Oh!
No.
No, I love the Vietnamese. I do.
Mm.
Platoon, that was a great movie.
Oh.
Kim Jong-il was very funny, though.
Well, I don't do impressions, so, like, you know, they're like, what impressions do you do at Matt? I'm like, really none. So I do impressions that nobody knows what they sound like. And Kim Jong-il is basically my dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bobby, clean your room. Hello, I am Kim Jong-il. Same guy.
Same guy. Both dictators.
Yeah, and people go, oh, he does a great Kim Jong-il. How do you know?
It's a bad sign when an Asian guy's jet black hair looks out of place and distracting, you know? I mean, these are folks that don't go gray too early and everyone has the jet black hair. Somehow he's been able to take his jet black hair and make it completely unbelievable. Which is a fairly tall order. It's weird, you know, when you see Wayne Newton with the jet black hair, you go, okay, old man, this is ridiculous with the Just for Men already. He has the jet black hair, and I don't buy it for a second. And then the crazy Charles Nelson Reilly, Swifty Lazar sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know what it is? When you're an evil dictator, it is like you're a pro athlete or big young celebrity, you have nobody in your camp to ground you.
Sure.
A lot
nobody,
of yes men.
Yeah, I have buddies who, if I try to leave the house in a leather vest and bad sunglasses, hold on, Fagarini. Where do you think you're going? No goddamn way.
Right.
Are we going to watch a game with you and that faggoty leather, whatever? You know, you have that. You don't, he doesn't have that. They'll be shot.
Right.
So he puts the glasses on, and he puts the Just for Men in, and everyone says, and he says, what do you think? And they're all like, oh,
it's great. You look good. You know, I heard he said that he got 9 holes in ones.
11.
11.
Around the golf, 11 holes
and
in ones.
And everyone believes that.
And it wasn't just
in
him
North
yet.
Korea.
Then he has his yes men who go out and tell the story.
Yeah.
I was there. I saw it. 11 holes in one. First time ever.
He was probably playing tennis, man. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Tiger Woods sucks compared to him. I mean, he just blows ass. He went in Korea, he wouldn't make a miniature golf tournament. Yeah. This guy's amazing.
If he weren't busy with the important work of oppressing people, he'd have at least 10 green jackets by then.
All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Bobby Lee here from Mad TV. Fox Saturday nights, 11 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
last week on the Adam Carolla Show.
$2,000 on the line.
What does Adam refer to as the Mexican version of Uncle Tom?
The Mexican Uncle Tom?
His Uncle Tom the end.
So this morning,
the pot will roll over and go to $3,000.
We really want you to have the money, but you're going to have to earn it.
Mahalo.
Your chance to beat Dave's mom at Adam Carolla Show trivia for $3,000.
Mo, it's your time to shine, my girl.
It's coming up later this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Lee in studio from Mad TV will be giving away that $3,000 somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour. Yes, Bruskett? All right.
Correct.
So bone up on your trivia and then see if you can dethrone the champ. Bobby Lee from Mad TV, Fox Saturday nights, 11 o'clock. Dave, quit laughing. I'm trying to set up the guest. Saturday nights, 11 o'clock, I think in the 11th season or something like that. Bobby's been on five seasons. Show's good.
Do you really think so?
Yes. I've never seen it. I gotta tell you, I always think, well, it's a weird thing because the sketch format is tough because everyone watches it and goes, puh, come on, it should be better than that. It's an interesting thing I always think about, which is if you do improv, like Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's not very funny, but people sit at home and go, I could never do that. That's what you want. What you want is a job where people watch you and go, I could never do that. And it's the, now when you do sketch comedy, they go, I could do that. I work with someone who's really funny, Stu over in packing. He does all these voices. He's total crack up. He could do this. But when they see the improv stuff, they go, oh, I could never do that. So when you do sketch comedy, you're always going to get those a-holes with their arms folded and one eyebrow up
right.
going, oh, I could do better than that.
But and they probably could, but...
They probably could, but they haven't.
When people go, hey, do you want to eventually do SNL? Well, I'm on a show. Isn't that good enough for you?
Yeah.
You know?
I got a lot of that, too.
Yeah,
it's cool you're writing on that one late night show, on the Kimmel late night show. You know what's even cooler if you get on The Daily Show? I'm not moving across the country. Hey, by the way, I want to ask you this.
Uh-oh.
You saw X-Men last night.
Yeah.
And?
There's too many new X-Men. There's no Asian X-Men. Mm. There's this Asian guy, all he does is spikes comes out of his face. That's not a power.
What power?
Then I'm an X-Men then. No. I'm a little yellow monster down here. That's my power.
What's his name? What the hell's his name, the guy with the spikes coming out of his head?
I don't even know, because I have an X-Men encyclopedia, and I went home. He's not in it.
There's no such thing even. What? Porcupine.
Yeah, porcupine guy.
Something like that. Yeah.
Hold on.
With weird eyes. I don't know what it is.
You have an X-Men encyclopedia?
Yeah, I have two of them.
Oh.
Nerding.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
No, because I want to see, like, if these guys are real or not. I mean, I'm not a big X-Men fan, but you have two books. Yeah.
Look, you
I have a book on United 93, and I went and saw the movie.
You explaining why you have an X-Men encyclopedia does not help your case. It's like finding you with you have kiddie porn at home. Yeah, yes, because I enjoy masturbating to underage
I'm
kids
doing
in the
research,
nude.
Research on that.
Oh man,
no, that wasn't even that. That was just him saying why he has it. He's an X-Men nut.
Well, Bobby,
was it good, Bobby? Yeah,
it was. It was entertaining.
As good, better than the other two?
No.
Not as good.
No.
Dang. This was the one I put all my faith in for summertime.
It's too muddled. There's too many things going on.
Mm. They tried to stuff too many toes into one sock.
Yeah. They literally introduced 60 new guys.
I think this is the problem sometimes that a lot of sequels and sequels get into is they think, well, it's got to be bigger and it's got to be better. So it's like in Jaws, it was one shark, slow burn, slow build. Not till three quarters of the way into the movie did you even see the goddamn shark. Then in Jaws 2, there's 1,000 of them and they're all attacking the aquarium. It's sort of like Alien did this. There was one alien. You could build a relationship with that one alien. And then in Aliens, there was 1 million of them and they were expendable. They go too big and they end up with nothing. It's too much.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Well, here's with all those characters, what we've been doing, Bobby, the last few days is trying to name Teresa's vagina here. Ooh. We did it with stadiums, you know, stuff like
the
that.
The Rose Bowl.
Chavez Ravine is a big one. But, you know, it occurs to me that X-Men characters make great names for Teresa's vagina. If you'd like to offer some up, I'll get the ball rolling.
Okay.
You got Wolverine.
Yeah.
Beast.
Juggernaut.
Oh, I love
I like that.
Okay. Mystique.
Mystique is good, yeah.
It's yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Dr. Jean Grey. Yeah.
Well, confusing.
Well, wait a second. Does my vagina have a PhD or just, you know, an MD?
Yes.
I think it's something to brag
is
about.
Kitty
does.
Pride?
Or just VD?
Huh? Kitty Pride.
Kitty Pride's a good one.
I don't like gray involved with my vagina. Grandma.
Yeah. Magneto.
Yeah, I don't, it feels like if I was, I'm pretty heavily decorated downstairs. I wear a lot of metallic in the Johnson. I don't want it sucked into her vortex.
Death strike.
That's good.
How about Professor Charles Xavier?
How about...
I like that.
How about we do the goddamn news?
Because my vagina has patches on its elbows.
All right. T, yes. If you're done composing your lawsuit, would you like to move forward and try a little news?
Let me just dot my I's across my T's.
Teresa Strasser with the news.
In a White House press conference yesterday, President Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair acknowledged that they had faced setbacks and missteps in the Iraq War. Bush cited not only the treatment of prisoners at Abu Ghraib, but also taunting statements made to Iraqi insurgents, including, and you might remember this, bring them on.
Mm-hmm.
Now he regrets that.
Mm. Well, it takes a big man.
It does.
What is he holding press conferences for? He's got a few more years and he's gone. I'd be on my Kiss My Ass tour. Who cares? You're gone.
Well, the war is becoming increasingly unpopular, and I think there's some damage control.
I haven't heard anything about that.
A 5'1" man was not too small to molest a child, but according to a Nebraska judge, he's too small for prison. The judge worried...
Squeezed through the bars?
Well, you know, actually, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
The judge worried that the 50-year-old sex offender wouldn't survive in prison, so instead she gave him 10 years of probation... And he will not be allowed alone with children under 18.
Mm. Because the 5, 6 and a half sex offenders rule the prison?
Right.
Is that how it works? Look, if you're a sex offender and you're in the joint... By the way, I don't know how this works. I mean, I know we get drugs in the joint, and I know there's all sorts of gay sex going on, and I know there's even guys undergoing sex, you know, gender reassignment and stuff. How does everyone find out what you're in for? Does everyone have access to your records? I mean, if I go into the joint, I'm going in as a cop killer.
Right.
That's it. Even if it was the pedophilia, even if it was, you know, I had sex with my mom's corpse and I was growing some weed in the basement, which is more likely the scenario, I'm going in as a cop killer.
People always find out who the pedophiles are. I don't know.
I know. I'd be like, you ever see that scene in Terminator where the guy walked into the precinct and took out the entire... That was me. That was loosely based on what I did. I took out a precinct. As a matter of fact, who arrested you? O'Malley. Yeah. He was one of my first. Took him out. I told him, see you in hell was the last thing I said before I put a slug in his temple. That's what I would say. How does everyone find out what you do? You're in the joint. I mean, we always do this, but we never think about it. But you're in prison, everybody. You have a little basic cable and some horrible food.
Well,
how is it you have access to the records of everyone who ends up in the joint?
I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing the correctional officers have access and they spread the information. And I'm also guessing it's not good to be a cop killer in prison because the correctional officers would probably take heed.
Oh, no. Different story for them.
Really?
Yeah. Different story for them. Took out a Greenpeace ship. I actually I sunk the Rainbow Warrior.
Well, maybe
goddamn lefty pussies. Coming up on a Japanese whaler, I took them out.
All right. In entertainment news, Taylor Hicks on Jay Leno last night. Now, Adam, you've talked about Paula Abdul and sort of your opinions on her. Here is what Taylor Hicks had to say about Paula.
Paula? A new ride at Six Flags. It is. She's up and down.
Wow. I'm glad you haven't had any sleep. You'll say anything.
She's up and down. She's, you know, she's crying one minute and yeah. She's joyful the next. She's yeah. She's wonderful. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Sounded like he was in love with her.
Yeah.
She's barely coherent. And the idea that she gets $6 million a year for spitting out a jumbled mess of nothing is amazing to me. By the way, right now, She's off work, everybody. She's made her $6 million. She's going to hang out on the QVC and hawk some cheap jewelry for a couple of months, make another $6 or $10 million before she gets back to her non-work schedule. The rest of us, the alarm's going off at 6 a.m.
May I say this?
Yeah. No.
You come down on this collab duel. But I will say
this. Hold on, Teresa said no.
I did say no.
Done and done.
All right, go ahead.
Listen, I love a lot of bad TV, you know.
And by the way, the music does stand up. I think we can all.
Yeah, stand up all the time.
We can all admit, you wouldn't know what era this song was done in. It's a classic. It's like a Beatles song.
Bob Dylan.
Why do you watch this show? I saw highlights of it on Extra last night. By the way, like I said, I like The Real World and everything else. I like crummy shows. But I didn't realize that Taylor and the girl sang to each other, "I had the time of my life," and did a face-to-face, like, miming kind of dance. What pleasure do you derive from watching this?
I will tell you what our society has turned into, sadly. We have to watch the things. We have to consume the things. I say consume, I mean eat, sort of listen to, view, soak in the things that are popular, even if there's no quality associated with them, so that we can fit in with the group.
I see.
This is what it's turned into. Half the people that watch American Idol, probably more than half, are only watching it so they don't feel left out of the water cooler conversation that takes place at their work the next day. So I must watch it in order to comment on it on this radio show. When I was swinging a hammer, I didn't have any money, but I was proud. I would just go home and watch snuff porn.
May I move along with the news?
I want to say I like Paula.
I do, too.
You do?
Yeah, she's really nice.
You know her?
Yeah, I met her once. She kissed me on the cheek.
And did you smell the painkillers?
Yes.
You sensed them. Okay.
No, I'm not saying she's not nice.
I've never seen American Idol, so I don't know.
Really?
No, I can't watch it.
Wow.
Why can't you watch it?
Because I don't like people singing like that.
It's uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable for me.
I agree. It's just I have to. Oh, my, now this is. This is a departure for her.
I'm going to get my move on.
Okay, speaking of singers.
Any song that has the words uh-oh in it are going to be a bad song. I defy you to find me a song that has uh-oh. At some point, the song that works is a melody.
Marie Osmond.
Quite a twist, by the way. Quite a twist that a young lady explaining, look out for this guy, ladies. He's trouble. Cold-hearted snake. Just as good as it was in 1987.
Okay, thank you.
She's there because she's an expert in music. Everyone, just listen up. Listen up.
Arguably.
Girl, don't play the fool. Does anyone else realize how much this sucks? Is it just me? And I must say, in 1987, I was screaming it sucked to anyone who would listen.
Well, Jesus, I guess you had a problem with Scat Cat, too.
All right. Oh, God damn.
If I can just move on.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let's start the news again. Bobby Lee from Mad TV in studio. Big Paul Abdul fan. All right, where were we?
My spirit is only slightly broken.
Sorry.
Marie Osmond says she's saddened by the choices some teens are making on their MySpace pages.
Mm.
This after the National Enquirer. What?
Hold on, MySpace. New name for your vagina.
MySpace.
I want to be a friend. Can I be a friend?
Yeah. Well, your space, MySpace, everyone's space.
Log on. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Friendster's good, too.
Okay, V-Bay.
The
National Enquirer pointed out that one of Marie Osmond's daughters, who's 18, listed herself as bisexual and craving sex, quote, as many times as possible. If that's not bad enough, her 16-year-old daughter, this is Marie Osmond, renowned Mormon, 16-year-old daughter described herself as both a slut and a whore and talked about a dream in which she made love to David Bowie.
Is there? Well, we've all had that dream. Some of us have realized it. Thank you. Thank
you.
You. Thank you. But the whole thing about that is I saw Marie being interviewed on Entertainment Tonight. She then dropped the bomb that she had an eating disorder and then dropped the bomb that she was sexually molested. I've now decided that everybody in show business has an eating disorder or had or is or had been being molested. From now on, it's no longer news. Tell us if you haven't. That'll be the bomb.
If you don't have postpartum depression, get it on the wires.
Right. If Lindsay Lohan was not, in fact, molested as a youth or does not, in fact, have an eating disorder, then come on and talk about it. Otherwise, we assume you did. That's my new rule.
I like Marie.
You like Marie?
And I was molested.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No.
Okay. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
We have a very special guest on the line, so I will quickly say, Jess, that the Mighty Ducks were in a must-win situation last night up in Edmonton. They came through, so now game five tomorrow. Tonight, Dallas, the place to be, 5:30. It's the Suns and the Mavs in game two of the Western Conference Finals. But now, let's speak to someone who I hold in the highest esteem. 19-year-old Tyler Snider, who last weekend caught Barry Bonds' 714th home run. Tyler.
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
Hung
over from the Kimmel show last night, yes?
Nah, just a little tired.
First question I have for you is this. Were you drunk out in the bleachers when you caught that ball? Because it was some catch you made.
No, I was not.
And you were, this is Adam speaking, by the way, Tyler. You were wearing a baseball mitt, right?
Yes.
And so you went there looking to catch that ball?
Hoping to.
Right, and probably not counting on it, but he gave himself a 50-50 chance. And the ball now, what do you, have you had it appraised?
Not yet.
Do you have any idea what it might be worth, ballpark, pardon the pun?
I'm hoping a million.
No. What's the highest you've been offered so far?
The $50,000 today of the game.
Well, why don't you hope for $10 million? I mean, as long as you're just hoping for stuff. I hope this shirt's worth $1 billion. I really do.
So what's the word on the street? So 50K you've been offered, and you said no to that.
Yeah.
So what's the minimum now that you're going to settle for?
I'm not sure yet.
It's probably worth between 70 and 100 grand, I'm guessing.
Take the 50.
Based on what? You're estimating that? Or your boyfriend does.
Yeah, he's in sports memorabilia.
And that's
yeah.
what he says.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, of course, the historic home run, a clout that ties the great Babe Ruth's record of 714. But what I like best about you is when offered the chance to meet Bonds and maybe pass the ball along, what did you say to this?
I guess it was I hate that guy.
Yes.
Right.
Well done, sir.
And I'll tell you when that ball, I'm trying to think. Now, 714 is not going to be worth as much, probably, as 715. And then whenever he beats Hank Aaron, what are they, 67?
That's 755.
55. That thing's going through the roof. Now, will his ball go down in value as those balls collect? And if so, the only way to assure this is to sabotage the Giants' plane. That the charter. That plane goes down. You not only have 714, but nobody ever passes you, and you have the last homer that Barry Bonds hit. Seriously, you could pay a guy $65 at the airport to fiddle with the landing gear, and meanwhile, your ball goes from that 65K to 6 million overnight. Yes?
I guess.
All right. You're going to consider it, Tyler?
No.
Okay. So now, here's my question. Are there professional appraisers for these things? There must be. I think, by the way, you could sell that ball to Denise Richards. Now, hear me out.
Oh, this is interesting. Oh,
she'll buy it for 500 grand, explain to Charlie Sheen that she spent 500 grand of his money on this ball, and then throw it into a tree shredder right in front of him.
Tyler, get in touch with Denise ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who offered you the 50 for it?
It was some reality show on, I guess they're going to come out soon or something.
I see. And what were you doing before you were collecting home run balls, or what do you do currently?
What do you mean?
Well, for a living. now I'm going junior college at this point.
I just work for Dryers or whatever, ice cream.
Oh,
I love it.
Uh-huh. Dryers or whatever?
Yeah.
No junior college, huh?
I just finished up my freshman year.
Shocker.
You are the genius whisperer.
Yes, I can hear the width and breadth of the intelligence that comes through their mouth, and that's how I always know junior college.
I can't believe
take the 50K!
I smell junior college on people like dogs smell pot at the airport.
Listen, God bless this young man for meeting Barry Bonds.
Tyler,
you're
a hero. You're an American hero. Hey, Tyler, would you keep us posted and tell us what happens? See, I'm curious if this thing's going to grow in value or diminish in value. What, it's a stock, essentially. You're not going to keep this stock forever. You want to sell it when it's at its highest, yes?
Yes.
All right. So please keep us posted because I'm curious what you ultimately get for it.
Okay.
Thank you, Tyler.
All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
He didn't even wish you happy birthday.
No, he did not. That's why I put him on my S list. I tell you, when I smell junior college, I am 100% with that. Even if somebody says, do you go to junior college? Nope, I work full time. Are you sure you're not going to some junior college? Well, I go at night.
How did you know that? That was amazing.
Well, I don't want to insult our young caller over the phone, but there's a clear difference in talking to people that should go to college. Junior college is for people that shouldn't go to college. It's that people that don't feel like working and don't want to get thrown out of their house by their stepmom.
I would like to insult him. I mean, God bless him for being on our air, and I'm sure he's a nice young man, but what an ingrate. He might make 50, 70 grand. You know, that's a lot of money.
He's hoping for $1 million. That was another indicator on a junior college. You picked 20 times the amount that was offered to you. Like, I'm selling my car for $2,000. I'm hoping for $50,000. Well, you got an offer for $2,200. Yeah, I'm hoping for 50. Well, that's a junior college tip off there.
His bad mouthing of Barry Bonds, I think, a little bit ungrateful.
We had a prison guard who was going to explain to us how people knew who the pedophiles were. Brian?
Yes, I was actually in prison.
Perfect. So now we have a pedophile. How did folks know you were a pedophile when you were in the jail?
I was going to tell you happy birthday, but that's BS, sir, Adam.
Thank you.
The reason is when you go into, like, Chino prison, mm-hmm. before you get stripped down and checked for every crevice and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. line of penises, you know, lined up. But
sure.
There's a desk where all the correctional officers are, and you're in line with 300 guys, and you have to tell them what you're in for, and they write it down. They know where to put you. Like, the pedophiles go with,
the
other guys.
Right.
Well, you can't lie. You can't lie.
Yeah. You can't lie.
Well, you can't, because they're going to find out eventually what you're in for.
What were you in for, by the way?
Burglary.
Uh-huh. And you're out now? You're on the straight and narrow?
Been out for 25 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Congratulations, or mazel tov, as your people would say. Doing the math here.
Actually, you know that prisoner that calls in from Soledad or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Johnny.
I was actually there. So I was doing the filing for, that's your job. You file all these things.
You're in the joint. It was like one of these prison movies where the guy is going undercover as a hardened criminal. And he's like, where were you? Chino? Chino, huh? Do you know Johnny Bukakis? He was a good friend of mine. Oh, yeah? Well, I just made that name up. Does everyone know everyone? I know the name of three people that work in this building, and one of them's me.
Well, he doesn't know.
It's me and Big Tad and Bruskett. Those are the only names I know in this building. I could imagine. Whatever it is. I only imagine knowing the entire prison populace.
I wouldn't want to meet anybody in prison.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I'll keep to myself. He's that quiet little Asian guy.
Yeah. Bobby Lee, thanks for coming in. Mad TV.
Thanks for bringing me in.
The Bobby Show. Fox, Saturday nights, 11 o'clock. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Perez Hilton still coming up. Jimmy Kimmel calling in. Also, we have Dave's Mom Trivia. And much, much more on the special birthday celebration show after this. Dickie V.
It's movie time, baby. Superman returns. You got to admire the strength and determination. Man gets thrown off a horse. He's wheelchair bound for years. Declared legally dead. Comes back to fight the evil Lex Luthor. That is the definition of a PC player in my book. A primetime player.
The great Dick Vitale waiting on the phone. He's going to do a little summer movie wrap with us. But first, I'm not sure if these two have ever met. Jimmy Kimmel. On the blower. Jimmy has to catch a plane, so we're going to get with him before he flies out of town. Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm going on a sex tour of Thailand, but I just wanted to call in and say happy birthday to you on the radio.
Thank
you. Because it doesn't count to just do it one-on-one.
Well, hold on 1 second. Sweetie, if you're listening, because I know my wife hasn't bought me a gift yet, sex tour of Thailand. Put that above the Schwinn apple crate.
Listen, I'll wait for you here. I'll just hang out at LAX for you. Actually, I'm going to a bat mitzvah in Boston. Same thing, though.
Yeah.
Very similar.
The a bat mitzvah in Boston sounds like a thing a guy would do to you in a gay bar.
Yeah.
You want the Dirty Sanchez, or should I give you the bat mitzvah in Boston?
Boston bat mitzvah. By the way, I have I think I have a vagina nickname.
Oh, I'm so honored.
Ready?
Yes.
Douchebird.
Douchebird's it's a destination.
Yeah, it sounds like... Kind of sounds like Douchebag, also sounds like a beautiful little hamlet.
So it's like a sleepy little suburb where a family could grow up happily.
There you go.
But also douche.
Also sounds like the name a Jew may have changed from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Great actor
definitely.
Ron Killington was formerly Ronnie Douchebag.
Arnold Douchebag.
I saw Terry Hatcher on the show last night.
Yeah, that was a rerun last night.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it the first time then, but it was a great sketch you did at the beginning where Jimmy went over, greeted her, and then showed it on a tabloid news show as if it was breaking news. You know, Kimmel and Hatcher together. Her reaction was amazing.
Yeah. Well, she loved it. But you know, we do a lot of wonderful things on the show. I mean, I just hate to single one out in particular.
Yeah, I know. All the sketches are like your children.
Right.
Adam, we met about, I think, 12 years ago, almost exactly to this day.
Right, because I'm turning 42 tomorrow, and my entire life I said, you must do something by age 30, otherwise you have to pack it up and you're officially a loser. So I started getting desperate about this time before my 30th birthday, 12 years ago, about 2 weeks before my 30th birthday. I got into this craze, like, oh my God, you're going to have to pack it up. And that's when I ran to the radio station and bumped into Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, and and then we had a beautiful baby called the Man Shirt together.
Yeah. Is he in rehab still? We've lost touch.
Yeah, he's not doing too well, honestly. He's not. His sister's okay, but he's not doing that well.
I think I lost my virginity to his brother. I'm not sure. So, Jimmy, you're heading off to Boston right now with Sarah?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
And can you speak openly about how you don't want to go to the bat mitzvah in Boston, or do you have to pretend like you're delighted to go? Because I would be miserable.
The latter, if you know what I'm saying.
I would be complaining all the way to the airport, on the plane, while we're taxiing, on the way to the bat mitzvah, and while we're at the bat mitzvah, and actually doing it on the stage with the microphone at the bat mitzvah.
That's why we decided not to bring you on this trip.
Well, like a sex tour of Thailand, in both cases, open bar, and also in both cases, you become a man.
Yes.
Yeah, except if you're a girl.
Yes.
Oh, it is. No, I'm not a rabbi, but I assume in the Jewish religion, the bar mitzvah at age 13, you become a man, and same with the ladies, the bat mitzvah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Phallus is actually
hey,
added.
Jimmy, who gives better gifts? Do you get better birthday gifts from Adam or vice versa?
We're both pretty good, but it's, I put a lot of thought into them, and Adam usually picks me up and says, we're going to go to Best Buy and pick something out.
Right. And then I hem buy me a barbecue.
And I never feel more like a child than when I'm at the store with Adam and he's buying me something. Except for when I'm crapping on myself.
You know, it's funny about... I hope I don't embarrass Jimmy too much here, but it was about 5 years ago. I think we were sitting in the Man Show office 5-6 years ago, and our third partner, Daniel Kellison, announced to the two of us, because we people were making pretty good money. And I think formally coming from families where, you know, I remember 1 year I got a peachy folder from the family, you know, things like that. One tennis shoe, half a harmonica, horrible, horrible gifts, right? So we decided to overcompensate a little. You know, you're going to get a go-kart for $3,000, all kinds of great stuff. But at a certain point, Daniel piped up and he said, look, we all make good money, but we always try to outdo each other with the gifts. Why don't we buy, each other modest gifts, just a shirt or card or something like that. And then if you want, go ahead and donate the money to charity. And Jimmy stepped up and he said, F that.
And by the way, you remember when I bought you that year?
Go-kart?
Go-kart. Yeah. Go-kart. Oh.
That's right. I used it to get to work this morning.
Well, Jimmy, when Adam takes you shopping and infantilizes you, does he give you a price limit? Like, pick out anything under $300.
No, I have too much dignity to go crazy. So he knows that. He knows that I have a built-in cap.
That's right. The built-in cap. Another
right.
Good name for Teresa's vagina. All right, Jimmy, we have Dickie V waiting for us on the phone. I don't know
well,
if you guys...
Give him my love, yes. Give him my love.
I know.
And happy birthday. I'm sorry I won't be with you, but know that I am there. Not only in spirit, but I farted in your bedroom.
Thank you. Well, right. The great Jimmy Kimmel, everybody. I got to tell you, if I had to go to a graduation 8 miles from my house that Lynette dragged me to, I would be complaining the entire time. Going to the other end of our continent to see a bat mitzvah would drive me insane during my vacation time. Check, you're with me, right?
Here. I already told you though. I got to miss the Dodger baseball, the softball game that
right.
I could have played on your team, the celebrity softball game. Not, of course, that I'm a celebrity, but would have just ridden the coattails. But now I have to go to a wedding in
yes.
Pittsburgh.
God yes.
Well, I think Jimmy Kimmel, obviously, a great boyfriend.
Yeah. Yes. Or P. Whip. someone suggests there's no difference. Dickie V.
Hey, party people.
Yeah.
Long time no speak. Dickie
yeah,
V.
Dickie, sorry we had to put you on hold. We had Jimmy Kimmel, king of late night.
I understand. Yeah, you know, Dickie V, we got to make this quick. Dickie V has to sit shiv in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, yes, always something to do. All right, so, Dickie, we're going to talk a little movie talk, a little summer blockbuster talk.
You know, it's what I like best. Ever since the Nets were cut down in April, Adam, you know, Dickie V's devoted his time to watching new releases with his pal Coach K. There's nothing going on right there. I have one eye. Someone's got to explain what's going on the right side of the screen, baby.
Sure. So now, yeah, sure, with this whole IMAX thing, you're just not getting the full effect.
That's good.
So X-Men coming out this weekend, right, Chuck?
Today.
X-Men Today. Also, Poseidon came out.
MI3.
Right. What do you like? What do you think?
You know, you just like you talked about, the big release X-Men, they called X-Men The Last Stand, and they call it that for a reason. It's the last stand, the last chance a guy has from turning completely Fanuc, baby. You got Dave Damashek and his friends. They like this movie, right?
Sure.
They
That's
get
right.
together, they watch a thing in the theater, but the guy's mopping up for weeks afterwards.
Yeah, well, him and his gay posse get overexcited.
It brings new meaning to the word jerk report, if you ask me.
So sad. More imitation, butter flavoring. Yes.
Somebody just made the jerk report.
So, Dickie V. That's trouble.
Say, you know, I've been on worse lists, baby. But my prediction is Da Vinci Code, a PTP-er, remains on top. It's got all the drama of Mission Impossible 3 and all the laughs of United 93. What a head of hair on that Tom Hanks.
I know. It looks like Al Sharpton now. Just grow a mustache and pack on about 50 pounds of black, and he would be the new Al Sharpton.
That's the idea. Hey, who's in charge of the birthday arrangements over there?
Well, if you came over here, you would say nobody.
No.
What happened?
What happened? What didn't happen? There are about 4 cents worth of paper streamer behind me, and that's it.
Let me give whoever wants to take action here. Let me give you a little advice. Adam likes a traditional apple, the peach, the cherry pie. Forget about cake. Apple, peach, cherry pie. Don't try to spice it up a little with the dipsy-doo Dunkaroos. He doesn't like the strawberry rhubarb or the Butterfinger Crunch or the key lime with the macadamias,
yes.
The ginger and carrots.
Right, that's
he really
right.
seems to know you.
He does know. He knows well. I'm assuming Dickie's a pie man. Himself.
You know what? I just got bored. I want to kill myself after that rant.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I'm hooking up the 75 Nova to a hose. It's going right in the mouth.
Wow. For a second, we're on cloud nine. Now we just plummeted back to Earth. All right, Dickie, any other movies you'd like to give a plug to before we break?
No, that's all Dickie V's got written down right now.
All right, Dickie V. Well, listen, we appreciate it. Nice job, as usual.
Stay in school, guys. Take care.
Thank you. The great Dick Vitale. See him on ESPN. Also, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel Live, ABC, 12:06. Who do we got coming up? Hollywood Gossip Queen. Perez Hilton will be next to dish a little Hollywood dirt. And we got a big trivia competition coming up. Adam Carolla Show taking on Mo Damashek. $3,000 waiting in the wings for somebody to collect. If somebody could just pull it like that sword that was stuck in that piece of cement from way back like 150 years ago. Whatever that book was. They named a hotel after it. That's all I remember. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You are listening to one of the most brilliant raconteurs. One of the most great. Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You're listening to a man who slept with my wife. And yet, I enjoy his radio program, Adam Carolla. Hey, this is Phil Hendry. Have you ever eaten at this guy's restaurant? No, you haven't, have you? I have. He also does one hell of a radio show, Adam Carolla. Take four. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. This cat can bowl. Adam Carolla. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. Are we even getting close to anything here?
I think
are you serious? Oh, okay. Even the part with... okay.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, it's Stu the Jew, your old pal. Want to say happy birthday to you, kid? Yes, it is a mitzvah for us to wish you this happy birthday and plenty of nachas. How's it feel to be 50?
Adam, it's Kathy Griffin. Happy birthday on being, I don't know how old you are, but I know you're emotionally 12.
Adam, this is Ron Jeremy on your birthday. What can I give you? I already gave you a mold. I already gave you a spank me, F me. I've given you videotapes. You're happily married, so I can't give you a blonde. I can't give you any cake because I already ate it. So all I can give you is just this little wish. Happy birthday.
Mm. No cake, but plenty of frosting.
All the Jewish brethren gathering on that little thing to wish you happy birthday.
That's right.
They probably think you are Jewish, not the first people to make that mistake.
Well, I was never mistaken for a Jew when I was digging ditches in the San Fernando Valley. No one was there like, hey, Jew boy, why don't you dig a little deeper? But as soon as I got into comedy, well, there you go. See, people stereotype. It is so unfair. So unfair. And I straddle that line between the Jew and the Gentile. I have the sort of nappy Jew fro. I don't have much of a beak on me, but I do have the general, well, there's a certain... I whine a lot, yes.
Kvetching.
Yes. I complain about almost everything. And there's a certain... I'm going to try to be delicate here, but Jews, not the most fluid people. You know what I mean? They're not the wide outs who make the acrobatic catches on the sideline and then do the tightrope into the end zone and then spike the ball over there. There's a sort of,
have you seen
goofy,
me play football?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe there's a goofy side of me that helps, ingratiate me to those folks and make them one of their own.
And you love nothing better than a nice deli sandwich.
Mm, that's right. Mouth is watering. Speaking of, well, Perez Hilton, not a Jew. He is in England. We're having trouble getting hold of him. So we'll keep you posted on that. Let me just take care of a little business. It has come to my attention that there's a rift between Dave Damashek and Teresa Strasser. These guys yelling at each other off the air.
No,
I know this is
uncomfortable. No, that was a one-way rift. Dave just screamed at me. I'm actually on the verge of tears. He just screamed at me at the top of his lungs.
You're not acting. Let me chime in and say this for a couple things. First off, I'll let you collect yourself, Teresa. I will tell you what I think the problem is here. Teresa, you come from an environment where there's some issues. Got some pops issues. Shaq comes from an environment where he's got some mom issues. Shaq does not realize. Now, again.
He just yelled at me to F myself at the top of his lungs. Brusca, when you were here.
He did.
All right.
No, you're not doing it justice. Explain it.
It's a great show.
He was a little
lot
rough
of
on
fun.
He was a little rough on you.
A little?
And he's been rough on you.
Come on.
And
been
rough. And at the same time, what started it was just some things that Dave and I both said that was trying to make the show better, and I think you were a little
too sensitive. Yeah, I understand that, but to yell at me during a commercial break to F myself at the top of your lungs was
wrong.
Is out of line.
Well, Bresca, really, it was your fault too, though, right? You stirred the pot.
I stirred the pot a little bit. I didn't think it would get to you acting like a maniac, Damashek.
That was maniacal and completely inappropriate.
Let me say two things. First off, start prepping the Metro Minute, number one, just in case. That's all I'm saying. Just prep her. Just start thawing Tracy Metro. That's number one.
Sure, it won't be long before you're yelling at her, too.
Oh. Now, number two, I see, here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing. And I don't want to pussyfoot around what I think some of the issues are, but I'll try not to hurt any feelings, and I hope everyone takes this in spirit in which it's intended. Dave Damashek is a nice guy. But Dave Damashek, I know, is unbridled, though.
Adam just screamed at me to F myself,
right.
And I begged him. He waited. He goes, I'm not going to do this in front of Adam. He waited for you to leave the room.
Adam doesn't like conflict.
And I said, listen, I really don't like conflict either. I'm begging you. Let me finish, Dave. I said, at 10:01, please feel free to yell at me all you want and give me all your critiques on my performance, as you do every day. But please, I said, Dave, can you do me a huge favor? Right now is not the time or place. Can you wait till 10:01? And you said no, and you proceeded to unleash, literally at the top of your lungs, screaming at me. It's not appropriate.
Oh, I can get much louder.
Well, hold on one second. First off, if Mo Damashek is listening, this will not be part of the trivia competition. Your son yelling at co-workers to F off during the break did not technically take place during the show.
Well, now she's heard it.
That's number one.
She didn't raise you that way.
I'm going to get a reprimand when she calls in.
She didn't raise you that way.
No.
Look, let me say this. I think, Teresa, first off, we think you're doing an incredible job.
Thank you.
And we're very happy
to have
you.
Didn't I write that to you just this morning in an email twice? I said, I think everyone thinks...
Because you felt guilty for being rough on her yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
I have nothing against you, Dave. I think you're talented, and I have nothing against you. This is a one-way feud.
I don't know. Listen, how many times did I say Teresa should be the news girl? How many times did I say
just
that?
Please stop yelling at me.
I said that. Let me just cover this. And then, Ace, you can get back to the psychological analysis. Because actually, I think you do a keen job of it. But let me say this,
quickly. David. Thank you.
Let me just say this.
Ass-kissing douchebag.
Yes. Now, here's what I'll say.
Is that out loud?
It's ass-kiss rodeo. I have never given a note to Therese about anything until yesterday, Bruska said...
It was not a big deal.
Right, it was a minor little thing, when you're on the air, don't ask a question like that. I said, yeah, we have talked about that. We've made that mistake before. Don't do it. It turned into me yelling at her.
You wrote me a page-long email.
To say, listen, here's what we got to do.
And generally, I will say this.
Damashek acted like a freak, and he's wrong for raising his voice and cursing. I will also say, though, that we all critique each other. Adam critiques me. I critique Adam very rarely.
Does he yell at you to F yourself during a commercial break?
No. But it's just to make the show better. And I think, but also we got to take into account that she's only been here 2 weeks.
I'm brand new and you're yelling at me to F myself.
We got to be a little bit more sensitive about it.
A little.
We, not just you, you and I both, you were way too rough on her though.
Okay.
In the last commercial break I was.
That and a little bit yesterday, you were a little rough on her too. I'm being honest.
What do you have against me? I have nothing but love for
you. You have a vagina.
Is it a vagina?
Your name isn't Mo.
I swear to Christ. And I'm not doing this to diffuse any conflict. I swear to Christ.
I'm going to start crying, so don't say
I have not got a single issue with anything with you. I swear to Christ, I don't.
You just yelled at me to F my... And I'm not...
The only thing I have against you...
The volume was at 15.
...is that you, apparently, behind my back, have bad-mouthed me. And Bruska passed out.
And by the way...
And now it was in response to that.
Maybe that is
joking. I was joking.
She was joking, and you couldn't take a joke. It was a joke.
You didn't pass it along as a joke. You said, this is what you said, and read it to me verbatim, and showed me the card, Bruska, and said, this is not out of context or anything. I got steamed, and that was my response.
Dave,
it wasn't particularly clever.
Consider the source. You're smarter than this.
Right.
Obviously,
I was started up a little bit. I think you would go
listen,
crazy.
The bottom line
you
is
lost
this.
Your mind.
Let it be
when
so.
When she called the jerk report 46 minutes of root canal, I chimed in. I said, since when is 42 minutes 46 minutes?
Thank you.
And I will talk ass about Dave, but no one else.
I repeat. I you know, and again, it is not to defuse it. I have never had any issue with you, and in fact, supported your hiring.
Thank
and
you.
Have said behind your back, she does a wonderful job. She adds nice comedy to the show, which we didn't have in that seat before. So on and so forth. I've never said anything bad about you. I gave you a note, and somehow you took
Dave,
it.
I don't here's have a problem
listen,
with the note.
Here's my voice.
I have a problem with you screaming at me at the top of your lungs
well,
during
you
the show.
Did have a problem with the note, though.
All right, let me chime in.
She said I had a problem with the note and then the tone and the time and the place.
Time and place.
When I speak, that is my voice. When I talk about the Steelers
let me
or
summarize.
My wife or anything else, I talk
is
it like this.
Is that your voice or a knife in my brain? I can't tell.
See?
It's more an ice pick in your ear. But
it's a joke.
Here's what I want to say. Please. Give me one moment, please. Do not interrupt. Let me just speak my mind. So I understand these psychodynamics here. I started to say it, but I really have to get to it. Dave has no malice in his heart.
No.
I feel sometimes a certain kinship, a quiet kinship with guys like Dave, which is I really have nothing against people. Oftentimes that frees me up to say what on paper would read like and to the ear sound like horrible put downs and horrible things, because in my mind, it's always a joke. Of course, Bruskett knows I love him. That's why I can make fun of him. Of course, Teresa would think you're doing a great job. I mean, we're excited to have you. You know, I go home and tell my wife every day how great it is to have you in the studio. Therefore, I think it's okay to screw around, much like a coach would with a batter that's hitting 450. You know, he's the star of the team. You can say whatever you want to him, call him slow, do what you want. So we do that. Now, with Dave, who has no malice in his heart, Dave oftentimes feels that he can do that. He can be demonstrative. He can be unbridled because everyone knows it's just Dave, and that's just Dave. What he doesn't realize is that people sometimes take his words literally, sometimes take it to heart. Now, you mix that with a combination of somebody who comes from a background where somebody possibly yelled at them, where somebody possibly put them down, where it reminds them of something. I don't want to get too dramatic, but it's like one of those 80s Vietnam flashback things. All of a sudden, the guy hears the helicopter, and he's back in Da Nang. When you mix somebody who has heard people yelling at them and who had their spirit hurt at a young age, and then it gets unleashed by someone yelling now, then all these feelings come rushing to the fore. Yes, Teresa, is there issues? You're crying, so I'm guessing there are issues
like
of that.
This makes me uncomfortable.
It's
now.
Like if you ever... I'm not that upset, but have you ever had somebody scream at you at the top of your lungs and you're not expecting it and you're in the middle of doing your job? I think I just was shocked.
But you would, I think, admit that it unearths certain feelings, certain issues, certain things that don't possibly have to do with the here and now, don't have to do with Dave
saying.
In this
yes.
moment.
Yes, yes, I
well,
hear
because
what you're
Dave
isn't aware of that.
Just by comparison, Bruska, literally 7 minutes before we did our first show ever,
right.
yelled at me.
True.
Yelled at me to get my thing together. And
but what
so
did I
on.
Tell you about that?
I didn't know you any better. I didn't know you.
We don't know Teresa. She's here 2 weeks. You don't speak to Teresa like one of your chums from Pittsburgh for 25 years, you know. You don't. And you did. And that's two different things. I could scream at you because we kind of know each other.
Bruska the
this.
People person.
I can take a ribbing. You've spent a week naming my vagina. I couldn't care less. You can rib me all you want, but to scream at me to F myself, I've never been screamed
does
at that loudly.
Bad.
He's
in
not
my
the
life.
Dutch Mook, girl, your buddy. She's not the Dutch Mook. You can't speak to her that way.
Hold on,
you
know Dutch Mook, good name for T's vagina. Just write that down.
You know her for 2 weeks, and she's new on the
that
job.
Was wrong.
Be a little delicate.
She put it.
She's not Pete the Man. I mean, you can't talk to people that
who
way.
Who are these people you're talking about?
This is the best birthday ever.
Is this just like the birthdays when you were a kid?
Yes. Parents going at it. You call that bundt cake, bitch?
Listen, I'm sorry I said the F word at you, and that was wrong of me.
And she was joking with the thing I told you.
Well, that was wrong of you to bring that up.
Okay.
You're
I didn't
culpable
think you'd turn
in this.
Into a crazy man.
I think it's too soon to hug, but I would like to shake your hand.
A lot of
you F yourself.
Oh, wow. All right, no, listen. Dave, I'm not going to sit here and watch you run off another news girl.
How many are you going to run off, Dave? How many?
I am the all-powerful. the sports guy can has the power to run off.
Let me tell you this. I've worked on a lot of jobs, and I've worked on a lot of shows, and never in my life, and I've worked with mostly guys. I was a comedy writer for many years, and I've taken a lot of ribbing. I've never in my life had somebody wait for other people to leave the room so they could scream at the top of their lungs for me to F
well,
myself.
Well, listen, Adam's it's his birthday, and as I say, he's conflict adverse. All to right. begin with.
And well, so, I begged you to wait till after the show, but you refused.
Mo Damashek, if you're listening, I suggest you take a good long look in the mirror.
What have
because
you done?
You've created a monster in your lab back in Beaver Falls and now unleashed him on an unknowing population. Sad. All right, look, here's my point. Dave is not a bad guy, although I think has boundary issues at times. No malice. In his heart, he thinks he can blab and it's just all hot air, and he doesn't realize that that hot air hurts some people. Teresa knew wanting to sweep clean as a new broom should, feeling extra sensitive, has not built up any calluses yet. We all look at you, by the way, as one of the crew and therefore fair game, but realize you're feeling like the odd man out.
Thank you, new person. And I am fair game. I really am. It's just not scream. If you want to scream at me on the air, I wouldn't even mind that, but not during a commercial break.
Okay. Let's take ourselves a break. Let's compose ourselves.
Dave can yell at me.
I'll see you outside.
Well,
Dave, make nice, because if it comes down to one of you leaving, Lycus is going to have a new sidekick. His name, Dave Damashek. Number two sports. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, anybody home? Huh? Think, butthead. Hey, Adam, Tom Wilson here, wishing you a happy birthday. You're one of the people that I know.
Hey, Adam, this is Kane from the WWE, and I just want you to know that on your birthday, I beat Tad's ass.
Hey, Adam, it's David Tell. Happy birthday. If you're like me, you'll spend your birthday at an Applebee's alone crying over some chicken fingers. Yeah!
I'm going to the Denny's, actually, because I think you eat free on your birthday.
Good,
because if it was part of your policy after your 12th birthday, you should kill yourself.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Fall on a steak knife right in the lobby of the Denny's. If you are into your 20s, 30s, or 40s and still capitalizing on the free chili size over there on your birthday, that is a very bad sign. All right, we had some controversy.
Well, I hope Teresa's happy with herself, because now I Mo Damashek's on the line with what I assume is a reprimand.
One would hope, because I know Mo did not raise someone to yell at a coworker to F off during the commercial breaks. Mo Damashek?
David, you did not do that.
Well, because
you will be on my jerk report, David, and I think no, you don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
But no.
David. I didn't do. I,
David,
it
no.
was in response.
No, it was not in response. You are a gentleman, Teresa. We apologize.
Thank
the
you.
The Damasheks are not like that. Whatever he did, David.
What?
I'm not happy.
Sad, isn't it?
It was despicable behavior, David. And you know what that means when I use that word.
Yes.
She used to
say, I despise your behavior.
I despise it. Yes, absolutely.
She despises
My mom once read a book that read some 70s bad child-rearing book, and she pulled me aside, and she said, Adam, I don't dislike you. I dislike what you do.
Right.
And I said, Mom, I am what I do. I was 8 and was pulling myself back then.
David has heard many times, you are not a bad boy, David, but you do bad things occasionally.
Well,
and I think this is, and on Adam's birthday celebration.
And, that's one of the worst things about it.
Marred by this kind of controversy.
Of course, a
day of celebration nowadays.
It's like
that movie Poseidon. They're all raising a toast or ringing in the new year.
Exactly.
Boom. Rogue
Boom.
Wave.
Look what happened.
Rogue wave named Dave's tongue hits the ship and capsizes it.
When you think life is good, No, look, you're wrong.
But, Mo, you know, I hate to turn it back on you, but nature or nurture, sweetie. Somebody's got to be responsible for this monster known as Dave Damischek.
No, it's L.A. He moved out there.
Oh, he's changed.
We don't know.
Well, it's true. He gets on the booger sugar.
Developed a coke habit.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
This isn't me. It's the coke talking.
Starts yelling at his dad. You're not the boss of me, old man. Well, I would say that Dave is an extrovert. He doesn't choose his words too carefully. If anyone's heard his sports report, you would know that. And I honestly, tell me what your feeling of this assessment is. I don't think he realizes he's all bluster and all bark and no bite. I don't think some of the people around him realize that sometimes.
I'm a man of peace, ultimately.
You're like Gandhi with a bullhorn. You're a man of peace who yells at everybody.
Whatever happened, he does not mean it. That's David. He just does. What can I say?
But David is David. Good point. But if
I don't like you jumping on with Carolla and company.
But if a new person who's not acclimated to Dave's environment enters it, they will take him at his word. They will think when he yells, when people that have not been initiated yell F off, they think he means F off.
He means it, but, well, right. Maybe he did at the moment, but Teresa, really.
Right. Well, no. I can't help but
thinking. You like Teresa, yes?
I think Teresa's wonderful. You know that. The other person I called that girl, this Teresa.
Right.
I know Teresa.
Talking about Brusca, by the way.
Thank you very
much. And I've said positive things to you about her, yes?
Yes, Teresa, really. Let's eliminate him. Teresa, from the conversation. Teresa, he really does say good things about you. He enjoys you very much. I want you to make friends and be nice. But, you know,
I kid you not, yesterday on the way to the bathroom, he said, when he was talking about Trace, said that effing bitch is doing a great job at news.
Now, Mo, while we have you on the phone, do you have any names for Teresa's vagina?
No, I didn't.
All right, so, Mo, you are going to try to recover from this little Damischek setback.
Right, it's an embarrassment.
It was a Damischok.
Yes, it's a black eye.
Thank you.
To the good Damischek name, not that Damischek is a particularly pleasing name, but I mean the good name of the, not a good name, but you know what I'm saying, the good people of the Damischek family. So you will recover, you will bounce back because we got $3,000 on the line.
I know.
All right.
Thank you very much, Mo, for calling.
You're welcome, Teresa.
We will hang on for 1 second. Brusket, you want to go to break?
Let's
and
go
then
to break.
When we come back, we'll talk to some people. Again, if you know Adam Carolla Show trivia, then you call in. We have many callers who actually have already. We will do, 866-901-ADAM. Thank you, Brusket.
Mo's ready to be had, too. She's now off her game. She's had to deal with this trauma unexpectedly.
That's a good point.
Well, that's what you do. As Muhammad Ali could have told you when he could speak, you get inside your opponent's head. Muss with their mind.
Maybe this is a big stand
game
by Teresa, and her friend is going to call in. This is all a big thing to get inside Mo's head.
It's like a little Enron.
It would be nice. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with a little trivia competition after this.
It started with $1,000. We wanted to give it to you. But in order to get it, you had to beat Dave's mom at Adam Carolla Show Trivia.
How do I sign off each show?
Mahalo.
1,000 turns into 2.
The Mexican Uncle Tom.
His Uncle Tom the end.
So now the pot's up to $3,000 for answering a couple of questions about the Adam Carolla Show. Think you got what it takes to beat Dave's mom?
Mo Damischek.
We're starting to get the feeling no one can take her.
You're the queen of all moms.
Your chance is coming up soon on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, she did everything but teach her son decorum. And by the way, still thawing out here from the very painful segment we had in the last part of the show. Quick piece of business. Dave Damischek. You raised your voice to a coworker. You used the F word to a lady. And for that, you're going to be now bitten by your own snake because it is time for you to take a toilet timeout.
Oh, no.
Big Tad will escort you.
I already have been on the message board. The message board is already the
determine that I need to be on the jerk report?
Well, you can work on your jerk report from the friendly confines of your tiled office. Big Tad escort him into the men's room.
I can see myself to the door.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
This is no joke. That bathroom, I not only think it's the only bathroom on this floor or in this building, I think it's on this block. There is nonstop Duke extrusion going on in there. Several tears of joy, Teresa, or sorrow. You know what this is like?
It's like Halle Berry when she won the Oscar. I'm that happy.
It's more like the mother that is in the jury. You know, the mother that's attended the courtroom when they've done the punishment phase of the trial. Death by hanging, and you're crying the tears. You're crying for your murdered son also, because justice has been meted out.
It's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet. All right, Dave. Into the bathroom with you, please. Into the bathroom. Call your attorney from the head.
This is for all who suffered before me. I stand on the shoulders of all who Dave has yelled at.
Such a pioneer. Amazing. Yes, Dave, that bathroom is no joke. Tom?
Are we really putting him in the bathroom?
Yes. Shotgun Tom Kelly.
If it's the bathroom I'm thinking about in this place, it is definitely unbelievable.
There is an average of 48 linear feet of Duke extruded every 20 minutes in that bathroom. So if Dave's in there for half an hour, we're going to be well into the 60s and 80s. All right. You are here to preside over. This is legendary DJ Shotgun Tom Kelly. He's out here on K-Earth from 4 to 6, I should say 4 to 8 o'clock.
That's right.
Right up the hall from... I grew up in Los Angeles.
That's right. You sure did.
Legendary station K-Earth 101 out here. Yes.
Well, I just got a flash from Seattle. Got a call from my son who's in the United States Navy, Nick, and his supervisor, Zach. They're big fans of you, and they listen to you all the time. They're over at Whidbey Island working on the P-3 Orion airplanes.
Wow.
And they dig the Adam Carolla radio show, the United States Navy. Come on.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And the Orion's sub-hunters?
They're a plane. The Orion, yes, P-3 they, Orion. Oh, is that what it is?
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a parent that's not involved. Well, thank you.
Now, listen, I come bearing a gift. Because I enjoy giving gifts, especially on your birthday, baby.
Sure.
Let's put another candle on your birthday cake, baby.
Well, last time I got a gift, it was a Shotgun Tom Kelly bobblehead.
That's right, yeah.
Which I cherish, by the way.
I hope so, yes.
I flick it in the chin every morning before I leave.
That's right, man.
And it nods goodbye to me. Now... a huge foam core picture of the entire crew. Remember
that.
Dave Damashek? Whatever happened to him?
Dave's right in their background there.
I see him. I vaguely remember him.
And look at Teresa. Doesn't she look as beautiful as she always has?
She's
fetching. Happier times.
And look at and do you like yourself? Adam, do you like yourself, man?
I would give it a 7 on my I don't look bad. I don't look great. I probably look how I am.
Well, you know, the unshaven look is very popular these days.
Yeah, ladies like the way wife claims it chafes her, but I say the other girls like it.
Yeah.
Alright, so
I gotta warm up. 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7 4 9 7
You tune in to Shotgun Tom Kelly over at K-Earth at 4 o'clock,
That's
and
right.
you will hear 4 hours of that.
Well, just
nonstop?
Yeah. Yes.
with the Frankie Lyman in the Teenager song put in somewhere in the middle of that.
You'll also hear, oh, blippity blip.
That's my favorite. I love that.
That's right. Just that and two Del Shannon songs, and that's four. The 4 hours goes by like you're standing on your head.
Now, you say your wife likes my little sound effects?
She does. I think it reminds her of the good
Oh, walking down the pathway of love, baby.
All right, let's get moving with the trivia.
All
we
right.
must find a worthy opponent for Mo Damashek, whose boyfriend. Speaking of Freudian.
Freud called.
That's right. Whose boyfriend slash son has been dispatched to the bathroom for the penal. Into the penal colony known as the men's room here. Noah?
Yeah.
You think you know Adam Carolla Show trivia?
Absolutely. This right. Mo Damashek is a joke.
Well, let's see if you can back it. Here we go, Tom.
Here's our first question. What line opens the show every day?
What line opens the show every day?
That's correct.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to go with a... on that one.
Blip.
Although, to be fair, I wouldn't know what it was either. All right, let's try the same. I'll try the same question on the next guy, Tony.
All right, what line opens the Adam Carolla Show, Tony? What line opens the show every day?
You start with phone number, and you say phone number, and you say 1-866-901-ADAM.
It's just before.
I'm going to give a hint. It starts with good morning.
Right, and it's not my voice.
It's just before.
That's the trick. It's not the first thing I say.
Oh, it's before what you before you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
I don't know why.
It's a song. It's like a song from U2 or somebody.
Well, it's the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones. I don't know why, but when I looked at this one, I thought there's no way I would get this one. Maybe it's too long. It seems basic. But on the other hand, maybe it's too tall in order.
We'll give an easier question.
Should we hear the answer to that?
Sure.
Yes.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
All right, let's try Eric now. Eric?
Hey, good morning. Happy birthday, Adam.
Good morning and thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, here we go. What religion is Teresa?
Teresa is Jewish.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, she is.
Mazel.
All right. Let's talk to Kent. Kent?
Yes.
Here we go.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
All right, Adam, here we go. True or false? Adam loves trail mix.
False. Emphatically false.
That is correcto mundo.
I like the emphatic part of the false. Vaughn?
Mr. Adam, your helmet's not a chair.
Thank you. Wow. It's going way back to my Pop Warner football playing days when the coaches would yell, your helmet's not a chair, gentlemen. Grab a knee. Helmet's not a chair. And by the way, I would argue that a chair is not a helmet for those who are trying to put a chair on their head. Thank you. The more you know. Go ahead. Well, obviously a longtime fan. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Here we go. What show did Ted try out for and not make?
Biggest Loser.
Absolutely.
And he said it quickly as well. All right. Well, we have three people. Should we talk to the rest of them, Brusket? Or do you want to play a hunch here? Or what do you want to do?
I think Ken and Vaughn were both pretty good. It sounded
Ken Vaughn seemed to be quick and on the track. All right. Let's give Kent another question.
All right. Adam. Okay. Here we go, Adam and Kent. Who was the very first guest on the show?
Oh, I think I know that.
It was Kevin Nealon.
Oh,
nice try. Let's try the same question with Vaughn. Vaughn?
Oh, I'm going to shut in the dark. Dag.
Another good guess. I believe the answer was Jimmy Kimmel.
Absolutely, Adam. You are absolutely correct.
It's only because I read it somewhere. Let's try again. This time we'll go with Vaughn. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, we have another question here. This is real easy. Here we go, Adam. What is Adam's wife's name, Vaughn?
Lynette.
Hey!
Solid. Got to write that down. Kent?
Yes.
Here we go. Your chance to tie with Vaughn.
All right, Adam.
$3,000 on the line.
Absolutely. Here we go. What is the name of Adam's Native American character?
It is Chief Thunderbear.
Absolutely. You better believe it, baby.
I would have accepted Chief Running Bear because I call him that most of the time. Yeah, hey, Tanay, hey, Chickie, I want to hear. All right. We going to try another?
Yeah, absolutely, Adam.
These guys are good. We'll go back to Vaughn. Here we go, Tom.
Okay, Vaughn, here we go. Here's your question. What fast food restaurant did Adam work at?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Fast food restaurant. Come on, hurry up.
Not fast.
Ironically, yes.
I think if Kent gets us right, we pick Kent.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Kent?
Yes.
What fast food restaurant did I work at?
You worked at McDonald's where you wore the brown gi and often ate leftover food by the dumpster.
Yes, thank you very much.
Lucky, lucky here.
We're few, but we're proud, the Corollas. Every once in a while, they'd ask me to throw out some McFish sandwiches or a couple apple turnovers, and I would say, oh, no problem, boss, because they sat in the heating bin for too long, and I would walk them over to the dumpster and keister two while I shoved three into my mouth. What a proud sight I was at 16. What a man.
McSad.
No wonder I never had the guts to ask Beth Ringwald out. We will take, but still better than the empowered Dave Damashek, who doesn't think twice about going off on a co-worker.
Is he still in the bathroom?
He's in his tile and grout prison.
Will you give me a blibbity blip just to celebrate?
Oh, blippity blip, Teresa. So sad.
Thank you.
Mo Damashek?
Yes.
Your son has been banished to the bathroom.
I know, and appropriately.
Ironically, he decided because of his devious nature and his frightening sense of humor, he decided a few weeks ago it'd be funny to take people who screw up and send them to the horrible bathroom in the building, and now he's the second one there. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, it's like Joe Guillotine having his head chopped off
exactly.
by his own device.
Oh, sweet irony.
Yes, it is. All right, hang tight, Mo. $3,000 on the line. You'll be going up against Ken and Adam Carolla Trivia after this. Mo Damashek.
Beat Dave's mom in Adam Carolla Show Trivia.
Oh, I love it.
And win $3,000. Are you up to the challenge? We're going to find out right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, we are. Well, if you feel like we're minus one nasally drone, it's because young Dave Damashek has been banished to the bathroom.
Yes, he told me to F myself.
Gilded tile cage. Yes, he told Teresa Strasser to F herself during the commercial.
And
he did not tell her. He screamed at her.
And then I will say that I cried more than David Hasselhoff when McPhee lost.
Yes, and that's a river, my friend. So we banished him to the tile bathroom. He's there where somebody hopefully is dropping a deuce as we speak. If not, $20 to the first person within the sound of my voice. Bruskett, not you. We need you in here. Always has one chambered, though. That's what I like about Bruskett. Don't mess with him. The hammer's always pulled back on his ass. He does not need to go for the clip. Point is Teresa, please don't start crying again.
I'm all done.
Ted?
You're not going to believe who just walked in the bathroom.
I pray it's Frank from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
It's your good friend, Ray.
Ah, my buddy Ray has entered the head. All right, this is Big Tad, by the way, calling from the bathroom. We have we don't have a mic set in up in there. This was impromptu. We have a cell phone, which is a little tough in the building. Is it great? That is all right. It landed on him.
Damashek has locked himself in the handicap right now.
All right. Wow. Wow. All right, hang on, Ted. Well, what just happened there is Tad was in the bathroom. My buddy Ray came by. My buddy asked over at the Man Show. And then told me that evening at 10 o'clock at night when I then explained to him, you want to get hired at the Man Show? This is when he was trying to get hired as a PA at the Man Show. I said, you better go get that Duke out of Kimmel's desk. He's not going to hire you if he finds that Duke in his desk. And so he broke into the building and retrieved his own Duke.
Wow. He had to break in and get it out.
To break in and steal the Duke out of Kimmel's desk. He is now urinating on one Dave Damashek in the bathroom.
Well, bless him.
Judge, jury, and executioner. All right, so where were we?
You got to get to the contest.
Mo Damashek? Mo, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I know it is. These are difficult circumstances for you.
Heavy heart, but...
Well, I'm telling you, rules are rules, and punishment is punishment.
That's right.
So, with your young baby boy in the bathroom, not here to be your good luck charm, you're going to have to endure without him. Now, you won two times in a row. The pot turned over each time. There's now $3,000 at stake. All you have to do is beat Mo Damashek at Adam Carolla Trivia. First question with a legendary DJ, Shotgun Tom Kelly. Yes.
By the way, first one to three right wins the money.
Thank you, Bruskage. Go ahead, Tom Kelly.
All right, Adam, here we go. What country is Ozzy
Hold
from?
On. First, make the weird DJ noises you make.
4-9-8-9-7. You better believe it, baby. Have mercy.
Dance, you little poodle. All right, all now. Right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, here
Who
we
goes
go.
Goes first?
All right.
What? Yeah, Ken goes first. Go.
Ken right. is going first. Go ahead.
What country is Ozzy from?
He's from Nicaragua.
That's right. Right. Wow. Nice work. Second question for Mo Damashek.
Okay, there are four mics working on the show. Name three by last name or position.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Mo has been silenced.
Yeah.
Mike Lynch.
Mike Lynch.
Mike, the intern who does the phone.
Right, all right.
And Mike August.
Wow.
Wow. You better believe it, Mo.
That was almost a knockout punch.
That is scary. Yeah.
In your face, opponent, whoever you name
Not
is.
Not to mention Mike F., who resides in the Delta Phi Gamma house with the deaf frat guy. All right, Ken, you're up, son.
All right, Adam, here we go. And, Ken, what is the name of Adam's assistant?
Adam's assistant is the beautiful Lindsay.
You're about to believe it.
Whoa. Wow, he's good.
All right, Mo's turn. So far, two for two with Ken. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's formidable. Mo Damashek.
All right, what is the name of the song that plays underneath Teresa's news?
Oh.
I don't even know that.
Mm.
Herb Alpert, right? No? I have no idea.
I'm sorry, I will accept Herb Alpert.
Yeah,
that is a good. I think it's called
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale. I thought it was Mexican Road Race. You know what, Mo? I don't want to seem like we're stacking the deck here, but I will accept Herb Alpert because that was tough. There's no lyrics in it.
All right. Okay.
2-2 tie. Well, boy, this is
tough.
Well,
here's the deal. Ken, if he gets this right, he is the winner.
Well, Mo gets a chance to tie. I'm sorry, Bruskett.
All right.
Rules are rules.
That's right.
Let's go. Here we go. Time for Ken.
All right, Adam, here we go. Mm-hmm. Where did Teresa go to college?
Stanford.
Guess what? I win again.
What?
Oh, no.
I win again. She went to NYU.
Yes!
Wow!
You better believe it, Mo.
Mo is unconscious right now because I don't even think that's been said on the air. You'd have to have gone to my website.
No. I don't know how I know the things I know, which is really bizarre. But
wait, it was never said on the air?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It was never said on the air.
It must have been spoken on the air.
Maybe once.
I don't know, Teresa. I watched you on while you were out.
Thank you.
I know that I know that about you. It was never.
I'll tell you, Ken, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. She knew it. And I'll tell you, Mo, what a wonderful thing life is. You know, you never know where it's going to lead. One minute you're watching Teresa Strasser, and while you're out, the next minute your son is telling her to F off in the studio.
That rarely happened to me on While You Were Out. It's called TLC, you know?
Yes, tender, loving care. All right.
I dedicate this victory to you, not to David, as I usually do.
Thank you so much.
This one goes to you.
Well, I got to tell you, I think we're going to need to pick a charity to give this money to because while Ken was a very worthy opponent, the Teresa Strasser college question was a 9.5 on the difficulty scale, and somehow Mo Damashek pulled it off again.
I'm in a good mood because Dave's in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we see if Ken can get one more right, and I'm going to give him a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him the money.
Okay.
Oh.
Because Mo cannot collect the money.
Right.
She's technically a family member.
Back off after this and just reflect on these past weeks. I'm not going to do these competitions.
You're pulling out and you're just going to go on the lecture circuit.
Right. I'm entertaining some other offers, and, you know, we'll see what happens. So, okay.
All
go
right.
ahead, Ken.
So, Ken, for the money, here you go. One
by
question.
The way, let me say this. Speaking of pulling out, would have been nice if Mr. Damashek did that when young Dave was being born.
Hmm?
Would have been nice. Sorry. Go ahead. We'll bring Ken up. Yes, go ahead, Ken.
One more
question, buddy, for $3,000.
Okay. All right, Adam, here it is. What is Dave's wife's name?
Dave Damashek.
No, his wife's name.
His wife.
Yeah, no, his wife is the,
Come on, you
You're saying
this.
It. You're saying the lovely Miss.
$3,000.
What?
Oh, my God.
Hint. Can I give him a hint?
No.
Go ahead. Give him a hint.
Give him a hint.
Give him a hint. It's the lovely, wonderful Cindy.
See, can I just say, that's what happened to Dave. That's the kind of hints his mom gave him.
That's
gave
right.
a whole answer.
That's right.
It's not a hint.
Right?
And I'll
All
say
right.
this, if my
All
mother loved me half as much as Mo, I wouldn't be an overly sensitive
right.
Dave Hasselhoff type crybaby.
You wouldn't be crying like Hasselhoff, right.
right. Thank you.
Last chance for Ken. One more question.
Well, give him an easier one, then, would you, J.O.?
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Here we go.
Sorry, Ken.
Okay.
All right, are you ready?
Hard. Just throw him a softball and let him make contact. Would you? I want to go home.
Name one type of car that Adam owns.
Adam owns a Ferrari that he bought on eBay. Not the most expensive one, but a Ferrari.
All right. Nice.
And he also owns a 350Z.
There you go. All right.
You better believe in baby.
$3,000 going to you, Ken.
Thank you, Ace Man, and happy birthday.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for being such a loyal listener of the Adam Carolla Show. Thank you, Mo Damashek. Wonderful job again. Couldn't take the $3,000. Crushed the competition once again, but too proud to take the money. All right, we will extricate her son from the toilet and be right back with news, sports, and also Republican Representative Richard Martin after this.
Bro, I wanted to get you a 30-pack, but I don't have a job and don't have any money. I have a song. Turn up the bass. They say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too, yeah. They say it's your birthday. We're going to have a good time. Hell yeah. I'm glad it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. And bro, come over, dude. We'll get wasted and pack some chicks.
Yeah. We're going to tag a chick.
What does that even mean?
I think he means tag team.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he means tag and release like they do in the Animal Kingdom.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, speaking of released, I'm out of that hellhole.
Dave Damashek.
The toilet.
Released from his tile prison. Well, I'm sorry, but bitten by your own snake, that's all I can
say. All I can tell you is the recidivism rate in this nation would go way down if they had to do that, particularly with your friend Ray, who's half man, half...
Rehabilitated?
For some reason,
it was
by the way...
It's hard for me to reflect with all that was going on in there, but yes, I feel like I have a new lease.
I'm trying to think of a way to phrase... when a man attempts to take his urine and drop it onto another man.
You just did it.
Without getting bleeped, and you've done it.
Wow. All right, yes, that's what Ray was attempting to do. Well, perhaps he was trying to sterilize a wound from a jellyfish.
Yeah. Well, forget about those. Forget about those prison rapes and stuff like this. All you need is to stick Ray in the San Quentin. Everyone will shape up right quick. Doing stuff to you.
We have Republican Richard Martin in studio. Better late than never. Good to see you, sir.
A pleasure to be here, Adam.
It's great. Always dressed to the nines.
Why not? This is America.
Wearing a white collar and
she
white
She salutes
cuffs.
Me. I salute her back, Adam.
Okay. All right. I know you're chomping at the bit, but we got to do some quick news.
Do what you do.
And then we'll come back and we'll hear what you have to say about this great country. First, Teresa Strasser, she's dried up and ready to do the news.
That doesn't sound exactly right.
By the way, this just in, Dave's an a-hole.
Wow.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was breaking news, and I felt like I had to lead with it.
Sounds like old news to me.
President Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair acknowledged that they had faced setbacks in terms of the Iraq War. Bush cited not only the cruel treatment of prisoners at Abu Ghraib, but also taunting statements that he made to Iraqi insurgents. You may remember when he said, bring them on.
Yeah, from the aircraft carrier.
Do you have feelings about that? I know you're a Bush fan.
I enjoyed it. In fact, I'd like to see every press conference. I'd like to see him come through a couple of saloon doors.
Oh, really? Right? Just kick in the saloon doors.
Letting know who's in town.
Guns blazing.
Absolutely.
Spurs jingling.
He did apologize also for the wanted dead or alive thing he said. Okay.
Oh, look, he should, like I said, he should be on year number two of his Kiss My Ass America tour. He can't come back. He won't come back. He'll be playing golf for the next 10 years and writing books and getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go on the cocktail circuit. Just everyone kiss his ass.
Well, may I say, this is on a serious note. I think this is a terrible thing that it sounds like who needs to be preached to by the sports guy. But it's Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2,500 people dead in this thing. Let's take a moment to remember
that
over
it's
the weekend.
2,460 members of the military.
Wow, Dave, you're way off.
But aren't most of those folks renters?
Okay. Let's just keep moving.
By the way, that's just American. Of British service personnel, 106. Okay. Mm-hmm. Capitalizing on consumer concerns about high gas prices, GM General Motors is offering a price cap of $1.99 per gallon for customers in Florida and California who buy certain SUVs. These are, you know, the giant ones, the Yukon, the Tahoe, the Hummer. The only catch, buyers have to enroll in that OnStar vehicle service, and that tracks the gas usage, and then GM will pay you back the difference between the average price per gallon in your state and $1.99.
Wow. Evil and Orwellian. Yes, people not getting away from the Suburbans and the Hummers and the big SUVs buying the Priuses, but we're going to lure you back with the almighty dollar. Republican Richard Martin, how say you?
You know, it sounds neat because I'm for tracking Americans whenever we can. I'm for SUVs wherever possible.
Right. I mean, we should track their phone calls and their cars.
Absolutely. And if they refuse to abide by the rules, we'll know that they're doing it by their phone calls.
Well, here's the reason, by the way. 30 years ago, we had an oil embargo. We had gas lines going around the block, and people want to know what happened. How come we've made no progress in 30 years? This is why. We have the technology, but there's no money in it. And the big auto manufacturers and the UAW and the oil producing nations and all that, they will not allow it to happen. We got ethanol now. Let's start using it.
I get in my Hummer and I drive around my neighborhood every day thinking, what can I do to conserve fuel? What can I do? There's got to be some way. And sometimes I'll go until I fall asleep at the wheel, and I won't wake up until I hit a homeless person.
Nice. That's how you know you've arrived.
Yeah.
I don't know, Representative Martin.
There's a certain greasy thud when you hit a homeless fella.
Well, sure. Why go to Jiffy Lube and pay $60 to have the front bearings repacked when you can just run over a homeless
guy? Exactly. Hair oil does the job.
Yeah.
Representative Martin, I don't know if you're a big movie fan, but, you know, the X-Men is opening tonight, starring Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, and Patrick Stewart. Here is a trailer.
This weekend, X-Men, The Last Stand.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
The mutants take their last stand against society.
It's time we make our choice. If you're with us, then be with us.
And Dave Damashek takes his last stand against being cool.
Can't wait.
They wish to cure us.
A cure is found for mutations. But there is no cure for Dave being a nerd.
Now I have something to do with my Memorial Day weekend. Watch this movie 78 times.
X-Men. See it this weekend with Dave. Seriously, he needs someone to go with him. His wife has too much dignity. X-Men, rated G for geek.
But evidently, not enough dignity to stop from marrying Dave Damashek. Interesting dichotomy there.
She's all very right. Troubled.
Teresa, how say you, baby doll?
Well, let's talk briefly about entertainment news. There's been a well-publicized feud between former friends Denise Richards and Heather Locklear over Denise's relationship with Heather's soon-to-be ex-Bon Jovi guitarist Richard Sambora. Now, according to People magazine, Heather Locklear drove by Denise Richards' house, and she blasted this from her car.
Wow. I make fun of Bon Jovi, but every time I hear this song on the radio, I don't change it. I gotta be honest.
This is a great song.
Anytime when they're singing about what a guy used to do, and then he picked up a six string, and now he's on the road, I miss that. Any rock bands that are listening, quit whining about the environment and get back to the core issues. How the band got started. Yes. Johnny did this. He met up with Sally. They were going to the top. He worked down at the docks. Can't anyone work on the docks anymore?
Really?
Here are the beats. Hard times in your hometown.
Right.
No college education. Your only friend, that bottle in your sixth string.
Right.
You're going to crank out. You got your best girl. You got your best girl, and the loving's good, but you guys, no money. Not a nickel between the two of you, but I'll tell you one thing that's going to take you out of this hellhole. You can rock.
And then yeah. What happens?
Well, first off, well, what happens is he forgets about his old lady when he sees the bright lights, takes it on the road, and then do not forget about the man trying to buy and sell you, putting a contract in front of you, smoking the cigar, telling you to sign on the dotted line. Then it's a whirlwind tour of America. Heck, the world. But at a certain point, you realize that little girl waiting back home, she was all the truth you ever needed.
Does the road get difficult?
It's tough on the road. I would liken it to being a cowboy out on the range. Not a six gun, but a six string in hand. You don't forget the towns you've been in. You sometimes remember the towns by the bottles that you drank and left behind and the women you've loved.
Well,
please listen to me, Modest Mouse, when you're writing your next song and really focus on the core issues. No one wants to hear you whining about the ozone or talking about your buddies down at the hipster bars. Talk about life on the road. Talk about leaving the small mining town. Talk about living to rock. And have it come full circle, getting back to the basics.
Well, you know what? I've seen a lot of faces,
don't
I've
talk.
Rocked them all.
Yes, you've rocked them all.
Thank you. Well,
does that include like toll booth operators and stuff?
Them
you
all.
Rock everybody.
When you rock them all.
But how about a guy who just wants directions and stops you? Do you have to rock him
rock
as well?
I rock him.
And what about the census guy? Comes to the house, wants to know what your nationality is and how many people are living in the dwelling. You have to rock him
I
as
have
well.
To. My duty.
Hey, let's just say you and your buddies got drunk and you went out to light a hobo on fire. Would you have to rock him before you set him ablaze?
Sure.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know it was real. I used to assume that was the people that attended the concert. You rocked everyone.
Well,
doorman, concierge, the bus driver, everyone. Everyone gets rocked equally.
Last story, it is Adam Carolla's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say this. I'll be there for you. These five words, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time.
Well, wait a second. Further punishment. Well, not only look at it as a punishment for Dave Damashek, but a gift to the listeners. It's everyone. It's everyone's birthday today. Dave is not going to do his sports report. So we're going to take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back with Republican representative from the great state of Ohio.
You betcha.
Although he must at least have a second home out here in California. Richard Martin after this. That's a little sample of the Neil Young, President Bush protest song. I guess a war protest song. It's also a Bush protest song. There's a lot of them. Pearl Jam, Springsteen, everyone.
Eminem.
Yeah, a renaissance for the protest song. It's like we're in the late 60s all over again. Republican Richard Martin from the great state of Ohio.
You know, I say, why don't we arrest Neil Young for singing like a gal? How about that? How does he get off scot-free? Prancing around like he's wearing daisy shorts.
Well, Bush sending people to their death, young people to their death. He's
again,
just singing.
Most of them renters.
Oh, okay.
Very few homeowners, often of a mixed race, a burden on the economy.
Well,
I could go on and on.
I think I'm going to stop you because
yeah,
I know it's
time.
An election year for you.
Okay.
And I know that's a large part of your constituency. I feel like the reason these protest songs are coming out is because it necessitates it. Bush is not doing a great job. He's certainly failing with the war in Iraq, and now people are stepping up and writing songs.
Adam, it's by hippies that want to make you feel bad about America. That's what it's about. Music should have a soothing effect, like Fox News. Mm-hmm. You know, music is there to make Americans feel good about America. You know, could I try to show you a little bit of what I do a little bit of rapping the side.
Really?
If you don't mind, I'd like to show you what I'd like to hear street music be about.
Okay.
Having Americans feel good about America. Mm-hmm. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four. What do you say we rake some leaves? Who wants corn on the cob? Tails, you lose. Go paint the fence. Hippie, get a job.
Little Chad and Jeremy for you, yeah.
Could I hear the music just a little bit louder?
Sampling's big in hip-hop.
Say that was a neat parade. Pops, he's out and back. Hun, roll up your window. I think that fella's black. Isn't that neat? Can't you just feel it's soothing.
Well, I think you're supposed to sample the song, but not play it.
Hello, Johnny. Oh. How's the farm? Timmy caught a toad. Say who'd like some lemonade. Homo hit the road.
Really, it's like we turned the calendar back 50 years for this.
Neat?
No,
Mr. Mayor, howdy do. Sally, get some pie. Joey, we gotta amputate. Only babies cry. It's just a little sample.
Yeah, I don't know.
You stole that from Fear of a Black Planet by Public Enemy.
How about this one? Mm. Oh, I gotta wait till it comes around. I am a musician at heart. Ah, Nessie, then I missed it right there.
Well, I think we all missed it.
Yeah, it's coming out. As we roll by. Adam's got a birthday. Jesus bless this night. Keep his babies healthy. See that they're both white.
Well, it's only 50-50 chance of that.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, God darn it, I put that out there just to say, couldn't America do this? Couldn't we feel a little bit better about ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Why beat ourselves up for a song that way?
Message of positivity.
Well, you were speaking earlier about the Fox News theme. A lot of people have been criticizing Fox News lately for ignoring the war, spending all their coverage on American Idol. Seems a little self-serving to me.
No, the purpose of news is to be a smiling tonic, you know, and I'd like to say that I enjoy Rupert Q. Murdoch's frowning antidote and reporting elixir. Delicious. But then not with sarsaparilla, Adam.
Yeah, but it's not their job to blow sunshine up America's arse. It's their job to explain them what's going on here and abroad, good or bad.
So that Americans get depressed, don't feel like shopping, the economy bogs down, we can't afford the war, Al-Qaeda gets their hooks in, and camels are raping our gals?
Wow.
Is that what you want?
I never connected the dots like that until now.
Because you're a liberal. You live in a land of honey and sunshine.
That's not a derogatory camel, not a derogatory term for people from the Middle East.
Literally
being raped by camels.
Horny beast.
I know they spit, and I know they're not a friendly beast, but I didn't know they would take it that far.
Shouldn't the fact that their toes resemble a jean-clad vagina let you know something's up?
Well, they do have two humps.
Yeah,
the word hump is right in them, right in the name there, and again, the infamous camel toe. It's a very valid point against things I don't even think of during my downtime.
And I would ask you to salute American Idol because it's bringing soul music back to where it belongs, the mall.
Yeah.
Its birthplace.
Well, you have a 30-year-old white guy from Alabama coming across like he's Ray Charles. Saying Soul Patrol.
Come on.
He's lily white.
Come on. He picked up the glasses and the harmonica right where Huey left him.
The great Huey Lewis.
You betcha.
I don't know if he's looked as an icon of soul music.
Oh, please. Come on. He's brought soul music right back to the suburbs. You know, when I hear him singing, I close my eyes. I feel like I'm in Brookstone.
Really?
That's a good feeling.
My body involuntarily begins playing croquet.
Well, what about, we're running out of time. This Enron thing just went down yesterday. I guess a verdict was rendered yesterday.
Yeah, Ken Lay and Skilling.
It sends a bad message to our gated communities. It says, don't reach for the stars. They might be wearing a wire. And a jury of the peers, there's no millionaires on that jury.
Right.
I didn't see a single sweater tied around a neck.
Good point.
Yeah. Miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, so you're pretty upset about
it. I'm very upset, you know. Can I ask folks to visit my website?
Sure. AskARepublican.com.
Please sign up, and you can also see my video podcast at iTunes.
We can find out more about Richard Martin over there.
Yes.
Okay, well, nice job.
You going to take the weekend to go to Ohio for Memorial Day? Seems like you're never out there, really.
I got a tea time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But God bless the troops. I support them.
All right. Well.
Only the white ones, though.
Sure.
Okay.
I think there's some.
This is, you know what? Let's enjoy your tea time. Say God hi bless. To OJ. We're going to take ourselves a break. Republican Richard Martin, AskARepublican.com. Be back for a little celebration and a wrap up after this.
2, 4, 6, 8. Happy birthday, Adam Carolla. Seriously, though, why don't you have a new roasted panino for your birthday? Bong, gong, 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 gong. It's my birthday, too. I'm just kidding. It's not my birthday. 59, dude.
Yeah, do a couple of live Quiznos spots. Paint you into a corner. Well, first, before we get started, we have my buddy Ray here.
Happy birthday, man.
Good to see you, Ray. And also Donnie, otherwise known as the Wheeze.
Hey.
First roommate.
Happy birthday.
Living in a one-bedroom apartment on Laurel Canyon.
Futon.
Donnie, tell me, I think people think I exaggerate when I explain how poor we were. I was, how crappy our apartment was, that we shared a futon for over a year, that we lived in a one-bedroom with three guys, and that I drove a pickup truck that was worth $70. Please tell everyone I'm not exaggerating.
He's not exaggerating at all. And we had no air conditioning.
Yes, and we lived upstairs, second floor, on Laurel Canyon in North Hollywood, facing the west. It would be 170 degrees in that room. I had to put foil up on the windows to deflect some heat.
Yeah, we were so poor, though, too. Adam wouldn't allow us to turn the heater on, so in the winter, we'd have to wear jackets around the apartment.
Well,
birthday.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, also back then, you know, Adam was trying to break into radio,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying every avenue, and there was a Mark and Brian KLOS radio contest.
Oh, you have the tape.
Yes. And all my right, cousin well, and Adam engineered this thing. It never actually made the air, but 15 or 16 years
this
later,
is
now going to hit the air.
Oh, not 15 or 16 years
89.
Later. Was it
89? 1989.
Okay, well, we're coming up on 18 years later. Yes, this is my first attempt at radio comedy.
Okay, that was Paul and the Apostles doing their version of Stairway to Heaven. Well, it's 7:21. That's 21 after 7. That's 39 from 8. And you've got it on K-Pray. That's K-P-R-Y. All religious rock all the time. We play more of what you pray for. Well, it's 7:22 in the a.m., and you're with the original religious rocker, Vic Trolla. We've got tickets for Nazareth and 999 to give away right after we take care of a little business. You've just spent the last 9 hours finagling in the garment district. You've worked up a man-sized thirst. Now it's time to head for the cheapest beer you can find. Yes, Hebrew. Imported from the Holy Land in the distinctive blue and white cans.
Pretty
now
good.
Available in the Hanukkah 8-back. And try Hebrew Light. All the taste, one-third the guilt. Next time, make it Hebrew, because you've suffered long enough.
You asked for it, you got it. Once again, the parking lot of the Temple Beth Shalom will be transformed into a tire-smoking quarter-mile drag strip. Yes, it's the third annual Raise for Grace. Watch as those holy hell raisers and crazy clergymen turn their halos in for helmets and their frocks for fire suits. Last year's winner, Blind Father Flanagan, his pro stock barracuda says that trophy's his. But Rabbi Mordecai Maltoff has other ideas. They'll all be there. Little John the Baptist, Friar Hank the Crank O'Leary, the martyr Muhammad Hakim, Father Herman Leibowitz, the convert. Yes, 25 of the fastest nitro-burning clergymen that ever cracked the Bible. A battle of the sexist grudge man, Rabbi Nathan Wittenberg, and his Dodge sponsor 200-mile-an-hour Moses Marauder.
versus Sister Francis the Flying Nun. Her only habit, burning nitro. Come on, Lee, meet Beth Roseberg, 1988. Miss Manischewitz, plenty of paid parking. Bring an empty 12-pack of Hebrew and get 50 cents off the price of grandstand admission. Yes, Temple Beth Shalom.
Wow, this feels
Harbor,
long
the Long
now.
Beach, the Ventura, the San Diego, the Marina,
this is your voice.
And the Golden State Freeway.
I guess it is. But it is, it's probably degraded a little over the years, right? I mean, Don, you kept this on a 8-track outside, right? You didn't have it in a hermetically sealed vault.
A reel-to-reel.
Was it on a reel-to-reel? Because the first part sounded kind of echoey. I don't remember it being that echoey.
Well, Gans added reverb.
Oh, he did.
Right, that's part of the humor.
Donnie's cousin. Yes, the premise was it was a religious rock radio station, and these were the commercials that would be played.
By the way, normally we'd all sing Happy Birthday. We're going to let Ozzy sing Happy Birthday by himself.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Happy Birthday, Ozzy.
Thank you, Ozzy. You got to sing.
Today and forever.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
Ray and Ozzy don't get along ever since Ray accused Ozzy of stealing his ladder. By the way, there's been some bad blood, so. A little backstory for you.
Papa. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Did you wish Dave get lost?
Thank you. We can, and I want to invite you guys in advance to my 43rd birthday party a year from now when we're only on in Fresno. Book your motel early and often. All right,
yes,
I want to thank
you. Official show.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Island Empire Coffee.
Yes, go ahead.
Ice Coffee Gum. Bobby Lee. Matt, Saturday, 11 p.m. in Fox. Shotgun, Tom Kelly. KR 101, Monday to Friday, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
All right, well, thank you.
And
of course.
I'm
Oh.
Mahala.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you Monday morning, kids.